6:30 p.m., Palestinian Ambassador Afif Safiya will speak at the Monterey Institute of International Studies Irvine Auditorium, 499 Pierce Street. The Institute's Graduate School of International Policy Studies and its Conflict Resolution Club, the Peace Coalition for Monterey County, and Citizens for Middle East Peace, a local interfaith alliance, are sponsoring the free talk to be given by the ambassador from Palestine, followed by a benefit reception. For more information, please call 373-1715.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. This was Floyd Landis right after winning the Tour de France.
As far as greatest comeback, who can say? I'll let other people judge that.
And that's just what's happening. With word, his first urine test during the tour came back too high for testosterone and epitestosterone, the artificial kind. Not good. And not new, says CBS's Armin Katayan.
But professional cycling, there was a line that has been used before, but it was considered to be a rolling pharmacy on wheels for the longest time. There was a huge drug scandal in 1998, the so-called Festina drug scandal. The sport stayed relatively clean despite all the allegations surrounding Lance Armstrong.
Landis is expected to have a second sample tested. If it's positive, he could lose his title and be fired from his cycling team. Zodiac, John Wayne Gacy, Jeffrey Dahmer, David Berkowitz. Robert Charles Brown claims to be in that kind of infamous company.
Outside of the strangulation, most of them were stabbings with either a knife, a screwdriver, or an ice pick.
Sometimes a gun, says El Paso County, Colorado Sheriff Terry Makita. Brown, doing life in prison for murdering a 13-year-old girl, claims to have killed 48 men and women going back to 1970. Went out at times, he says, looking for someone to kill. The governor demanded the resignation or the firing of the chief of the agency that oversaw the big dig in Boston. Mass Turnpike Authority Chairman Matthew Amarello resigned today, just 90 minutes before the hearing aimed at removing him would have started. President Bush says the conflict in Lebanon is more proof terrorist groups must be confronted by the free world. As for a lasting ceasefire,
as soon as we can get this resolved, the better, obviously. But it must be real. And it can't be fake.
There are indications Hezbollah is being shoved back from the Israeli border because rockets are not falling as deeply into the country. None, for example, in Haifa today.
I'm Vicki Barker in Beirut. Lebanon's health minister says hospitals have received 401 bodies of victims of the bombing campaign. But he says as many as 150 to 200 more bodies are still under the rubble. Impossible to recover them, he says, because those areas are still under fire.
Israel is calling up 30,000 reservists, and the UN has released a statement expressing its shock and distress over the bombing of a UN observer post in Lebanon. 4 UN observers died. Scientists say electric current can help wounds to heal more quickly. An international team of researchers found 2 genes that enable cells to respond to electrical signals to heal. And when they applied a mild current to the wound, healing happened faster. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 2 points today to close at 11,100. The Nasdaq was off about 16 points, and oil prices hit $74.54 a barrel. That's up 60 cents. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest 5-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 877-33- Go win. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
10 years since the Atlanta Summer Olympics bombings. If you remember the name Richard Jewell, you should also remember the word hero.
He was first praised as a hero, then castigated as a bombing suspect. Richard Jewell says he may never get his reputation back, A security guard at the Atlanta Olympics, Jewel spotted an unattended backpack and raced to clear the area before it exploded, killing a woman. Days later, he was erroneously branded a bombing suspect. He's paid a high price ever since. Now a Georgia sheriff's deputy, Jewel says people forget heroes. They never forget villains.
CBS's Jim Crisula. In the end, Deputy Richard Jewel says he hopes people will remember he really did do the right thing. He is one of the good guys. What are zoos doing to help the animals cope with high heat? In Zurich, Switzerland, the big cats, apes, and wolves have been getting an alternative ice cream, frozen meat, berries, and bones to help bring down internal temperatures. And the animal handlers say it does help. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
CompUSA email bag.
Lisa emails, Dear CompUSA, I need a great camera, but I'm a student, so I also need a great deal. Okay, Lisa, how about $120 off a 5-megapixel Kodak EasyShare digital camera? That's right, $120 off. That puts it under $130 after savings and rebate, our lowest price ever. That and hundreds more back-to-school deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. See store for details.
Yeah, my wife's pregnant, so since she's driving more carefully now, maybe we could get a discount on our rate, huh?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical...
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, she will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
That would be me, friends. I am your humble host, presiding over the next 3 hours of Progressive Talk, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show, wherever you happen to be, on the central coast of California, the north coast around Eureka, in Sacramento or Phoenix, I'm glad you're listening. This is the program that seeks to rock the nation.
Time with sinners rocks the vine, in a time where violence blocks the sunshine lifetimes.
That's Michael Franti and Spearhead. They got a new CD that just came out yesterday. I can't wait to get my hands on it. And we're the kind of people who aren't afraid to sing a little bit out of tune. Coming up in about a half an hour, my friend and colleague Peter Laufer will join us. And he is the author of two recent books, Mission Rejected, about soldiers who have refused assignment in Iraq, deserters they're called, and a book called Wetback Nation he published about 2 years ago about our immigration issues. And Peter Laufer will be joining me in about a half hour. We're going to do a little light sparring with the light gloves on, because tonight he's going on Fox News Channel with Mr. O'Reilly. He'll put the 15-ounce gloves on then. So that's coming up about a half an hour. Next hour, our daily update from Chris Tonsing of the Middle East Report. He'll be joining us to update us on recent developments there. It's been a lot of carnage in the last 24 hours. Then our insider, Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the U.S. Air Force, joins us next hour, and he has amended some of his predictions, and he thinks that Turkey may be the next military action. We'll talk about that with Colonel Gardner just about an hour from now. Also on today's show, you may be surprised, but there is a big violence and military action in Ethiopia, Somalia, and the Sudan may be drawn into it as well. We're going to give you some excellent coverage from Amira Woods at the Institute for Policy Studies. She's just returned from Ethiopia. Also on today's agenda, we're going to talk about Proposition 89 on California's November ballot, the Clean Money Initiative, and we'll make room for lots of your calls in the Free Speech Zone today. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and you're welcome to call this program on my new toll-free number whenever the urge strikes you. It's 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's easy to remember. 888-5-PETER-B. And if you prefer the digits, 888-573-8372. That's our lineup for today. And kicking off the show, sitting in for Faz Shakir is Judd Legum from the Center for American Progress. He is co-editor with Faz and friends of the Daily Progress Report. You can get it free. Just log on to progressreport.org. Great news and information and analysis arrives in my email account every day. Judd, how's it going?
Going pretty well. How you doing?
Not too bad, but you guys must be really busy. There is so much news on the domestic front, so much happening in the Middle East, and other parts of the world are getting short shrift right now. We have to squeeze in mentions of Iraq, and as I touched on, Ethiopia and Somalia are in a serious situation right now that we're going to update a little bit later on in the program.
Yeah, it's amazing, especially with all the attention on the Middle East, and well-deserved, that Iraq is really spiraling out of control, and no one's paying that much attention. That, in fact, more even since this started, you know, about 2 weeks ago now, you have more civilians who have died in Iraq and the violence there than in Lebanon and Israel.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. And Mr. Maliki came to Washington and seemed to make a few friends and a few new enemies too, like up Chuck Schumer.
yeah, that's right. I think, you know, a lot of people were, you know, upset that he wasn't condemning Hezbollah. And to a certain extent, I think they have a point because, you know, we've spent all of this time and money, and supposedly it's to create this great ally for us in the Middle East. You know, on the other hand, he's dealing with his own particular domestic situation, so there's only so much you can expect from him.
Well, and I was put off, frankly, by Senator Durbin's remarks. I like Senator Durbin. I have a high level of respect for him. But he basically was making the case that Maliki owes us a public statement denouncing Hezbollah, and it's really not within his political range. It would undermine his support domestically in Iraq, and it's not consistent with his viewpoint. So at what point do we actually let democracy work and say, well, you know, he was selected by the people of Iraq, he speaks for himself, and he is not our marionette or puppet?
Right. It's sort of, you have to have it one way or the other. If you have a democracy, they're in charge, and they say what they want to say. Now, on the other hand, if you listen to his speech before Congress, it's clear that he's not exactly independent. You know, that speech had all the fingerprints of the Bush administration on it, and indeed Press Secretary Snow later said that they had been consulted about that speech and seen a draft in advance.
So, oh, but there was no reference to the axis of evil.
That was missing. That was missing. But just about everything else you could have transported right from Bush's stump speech on Iraq.
Now, the progress report leads today with the issues of the Middle East and framed around the unsuccessful meeting in Rome that was convened yesterday with virtually all the parties except Israel and Hezbollah. And the real egg is on the face of one Condoleezza Rice, who went in there with the U.S. position and gave no ground. And as a result, they have a meaningless communique talking about how they're going to work diligently to urgently reach a ceasefire. But there are absolutely no teeth in it, no timelines. And it's a feel-good resolution that, in my view, is designed to buy time for Israel to continue to attempt to rout Hezbollah.
Well, I think that's been sort of, I mean, they haven't been saying that publicly, but that's been the effect of all of their actions. And when they talk about, well, we don't want a ceasefire, we want a meaningful ceasefire, a sustainable ceasefire, essentially a ceasefire where you can be sure that in the future there won't be any violence again. And you have an area that for decades, really for thousands of years, has been beset by violence. It's a standard that gives you a justification for these things to continue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's a real problem and something that in the coming weeks, I think as the humanitarian situation continues to get worse, it's going to be harder and harder for the Bush administration to sustain that position.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of ceasefire, tomorrow on our program at about this time, just a little later, Congressman Sam Farr, the Democrat from California's Central Coast, will join us, and he has introduced a resolution in the House calling for an immediate ceasefire. It's an important step, and I commend him for that effort. Now, Judd, in today's progress report, you kind of riff on Condoleezza Rice's line about the new Middle East. This is the growing pains, the birth pangs of of a new Middle East, the kind of creative chaos that is necessary for the PNAC plan to be implemented, the Project for a New American Century, which has this blueprint for essentially remapping the Middle East with American dominance in mind. And you riff on the new Middle East by saying, well, there's no new approach to regional stability, no new approach to regional security, and no new approach to regional diplomacy. Let's take them one at a time here. On the stability front, the U.S. in, you know, its 100% backing of Israel, in my view, is inviting problems down the road. Your take?
Well, I think that's right, that if you go in there and you lose your ability to be that honest broker between the two. And I think it was always a tenuous hold on that, even in prior administrations. But there was some ability there. President Clinton, at the very least, could get the various sides to the table or his representatives. And some of those things worked out and some of them didn't. But the United States was able to operate in that role. Now what they've done is put themselves in a corner so that we really have a very difficult time playing a role to achieve peace. And I think that's a big part, really, of why we see the violence continue 2 weeks later, is that, you know, the United States hasn't been applying pressure, and without that pressure from the United States, I think Israel, doesn't feel, much pressure either, to have put any end to the violence.
And, Jed, regarding regional security, you and your crew write, amidst the talk of pushing forward to the new Middle East, the Bush administration appears to be unaware that Hamas and Hezbollah are the new Middle East, and Washington's democratic reform program for the Arab world helped install them. And that's a quote from a former senior Mossad officer, Yossi Alfer.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the problem, is that there's such a focus on elections. And that's what's seen as a substitute for democracy and a real democratic state. But the problem is with these elections, as we've seen both in Lebanon and in the Palestinian territories, that actually some of these groups that are terrorist groups are winning and are becoming part of the democratic state. So, you know, it's nice to talk about purple fingers and people going to the polls, but it, with the Bush administration, it seems like that's the end game. And I think what they're getting at, that analyst was getting at with that quote, and what the reality is that the Middle East, as it's sort of transforming, there is more democracy than there's been there in the past, but we don't necessarily have a change of the groups that are influential. In fact, some of these groups are becoming more influential through the democratic process.
Mm-hmm. Jed, we're going to take a quick break and return, and we'll refer more to the progress report, a troika of fine Republican leaders, including John Bolton, John Negroponte, and Arlen Specter. We'll touch on some of their recent efforts in just a moment. And if you have a question or comment, you can give us a call on our new toll-free line. It's 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Kia Sedona, a 7-passenger minivan with 3 rows of seats. With a low price and generous warranties, Kia is getting more competitive with Japanese and American car makers. The Sedona has a 3.8-liter fuel-injected 6-cylinder engine and a 5-speed automatic with average power and acceleration. It passed our grueling hill climb test with no problem. It's roomy inside, and the third seat folds flat for cargo, but wouldn't be comfortable for an all-day trip. My demo has AC and power locks, but it's not loaded with accessories or leather. By the numbers, the 2006 Kia Sedona minivan gets 18 mpg in the city, 25 miles to the gallon on the highway, and stickers in California for about $24,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet Mike Serrari of the National Wealth Builders as he talks about the San Francisco Overseas Property Expo, August 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Hilton San Francisco. It's being presented by Live Well Magazine and the National Wealth Builders. If you've ever wanted to know about investing in beautiful locations like Europe, the Caribbean, the Bahamas, and Africa, this is the place to be. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, heard every Sunday morning at 10. For more information, call 408-892-3376.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 21 minutes past the hour. We're talking with Judd Legum, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report from the Center for American Progress in Washington. As we've mentioned, you can get your own copy free in your email. Just log on to progressreport.org. And as we move through the progress report today, you have a couple of interesting items in addition to the Middle East, Judd. There is a move afoot to extend the tenure of John Bolton at the United Nations. As many people know, he was given a recess appointment last year about this time, and it would expire at the end of the congressional session, roughly the end of this year. And so Senator Voinovich of Ohio has reconsidered his position, and while he says Bolton isn't perfect, he's good enough to confirm. Is there a consensus around that, and are there enough votes to actually confirm Bolton on the Senate floor?
Well, I think that's up in the air. Voinovich's switch, he's the most high-profile switch, doesn't change things that much because although Voinovich opposed his nomination, he actually voted to send the nomination out to the floor. They never held a vote because they didn't have the votes to get him through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to need to be more than just Voinovich that switches to get him through. They're going to need the support of some Democrats, and it's unclear whether that's there.
And Joe Biden is trying to rebuff this effort because he still wants some documents out of the White House related to the Bolton nomination.
Yeah, specifically Bolton and Senator Dodd are interested in some documents. Bolton had requested information about National Security Agency intercepts, particularly those involving citizens of the United States. And it's fairly unusual for those kind of requests to be made, and especially because Mr. Bolton wanted to know the names of who was speaking in those intercepts. But it could be proper from his position in the State Department. There might be a reason, but they want to see the documents and make their own judgment. So far, the White House has refused to grant that request. It was one of the main reasons, or at least a major reason, why he was filibustered the last time, and nothing's changed since then.
Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on to another John Negroponte, who is now our intelligence czar. He served, of course, as the ambassador in Baghdad for a while, and most famously in Central America during the Reagan years, when he was accused of counseling atrocities there. And he is now refusing, or at least blocking, efforts to develop a new national intelligence estimate that would give us a better handle on, you know, what's actually going on in Iraq and other parts of the Middle East.
Yeah, that's true. And what we saw is in 2004 there was a national intelligence estimate, and it actually predicted a lot of what we see now. It predicted, it laid out a couple of scenarios, but all of them predicted the instability we see there now, and even the civil war that many people believe is going on now in Iraq. And so essentially you're getting pretty accurate predictions about what's happening in Iraq from these national intelligence estimates. But John Negroponte now, despite calls by Senator Reid and some other senators, is blocking efforts to produce a new national intelligence estimate, presumably because nobody wants to see what it has to say, at least in the administration. And it, you know, it's unfortunate because it's something that, you know, looks like, at least in the past, gave us some accurate predictions.
Mm-hmm. Next up on our list here is Arlen Specter, the Republican senator from Pennsylvania, who claimed to be pro-choice and then voted to confirm Sam Alito. And he's been really in... how can I put it? He kind of weaves and bobs back and forth, because on the one hand, he seemed for a moment to really want to challenge the White House on the NSA spying program, and then he created legislation to essentially backdate approval for the spying programs of the White House. And it's been pointed out that he doesn't sit on the Intelligence Committee, and he doesn't even know the particulars of the two key NSA spying programs that we know something about.
Yeah, he's been really all over the place with this. He came out with some very strong statements saying we need to have this program be reviewed legally. We need to get the judiciary involved, and we need to have them make a judgment. Then he has a bill where really, one, he vastly expands the powers that the president does have, and then makes it optional for him to submit not each individual instance of wiretapping, as the current law really requires, but just the entire program, gives him the option to submit the entire program to a secret court. It's called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court.
Mm-hmm.
And they would then rule on the entire program. And it would also provide amnesty for anyone in the executive branch who broke the law, you know, executing any of these programs. So it's really a whole grab bag of goodies for the administration. It was presented by someone who supposedly was going to come down hard on this program and really hold the administration to account.
Well, why don't they just call it a get-out-of-jail-free card, the amnesty thing? I mean, I just think that that's an insult to Americans, the Constitution, and our criminal justice system. It's very hard to take. Now, on the other side, Arlen Specter has announced that he plans to try to sue the White House over the signing statements, the way the president has crossed his fingers when he signs a bill and then issues this signing statement that says, you know, essentially, I reserve the right to ignore this law whenever I choose.
Yeah, you know, we'll see what comes of that. You know, it sounds good. It sounds like he's being tough. It sounds like he's one of the few people in Congress who's going to hold the Bush administration accountable. But we've heard this song and dance before, and frankly, I don't have much hope for how it pans out. It seems like, you know, maybe Specter has this idea that you come out talking tough and then the White House will strike a good compromise. But it looks like if this experience with the wiretapping program is any example, he gets rolled over in these kinds of debates. So.
Yeah. And, Jed, you have a little teaser item here that a newspaper, a couple of them, have dropped Ann Coulter's column. That's progress. And I want to encourage people to boycott Hardball with Chris Matthews tonight because he's hoping his ratings are going to get jacked up by a visit from Ann Coulter. And if we don't watch, well, that won't happen. That's my advice.
I'm definitely through watching Ann Coulter, so I'll be participating with you.
All right, Judd, thanks a lot.
Okay, great.
That's Judd Legan at the Center for American Progress, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. Coming up next, Peter Lawfer will join us. We're going to talk about his book, Wetback Nation, and prep him for his appearance on Bill O'Reilly tonight. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium. Or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5, so keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in Reality Radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
B. Collins Show continues. It's 33 minutes past the hour. Coming up next hour, we'll get an update on the situation in the Middle East and talk to Colonel Sam Gardner, too. This half hour, we're joined by Peter Lauffer, the author of Wetback Nation. Peter Lauffer was on our program about a month ago talking about his newest book, which is called Mission Rejected, about the brave Americans who have refused redeployment to Iraq and in some cases refused original deployment. Today we're going to talk to Peter Lauffer about his book called Wetback Nation, which is coming out in paperback in the next couple of weeks. Peter, welcome to our show today.
Thank you, Peter B. It's a pleasure to be talking with you as always.
And you wrote Wetback Nation in advance of the Republican-led election year hysteria over immigration policy. What caused you to get interested in the subject and to get ahead of the curve that way?
Well, we're both Californians, Peter, and it's impossible to be a Californian, I think, and not be engaged in the immigration issue. All you have to do is look around and see your neighbors and know that we are certainly in a nation of immigrants, really the state of ultra-immigrants, and especially immigrants from Mexico, and particularly immigrants from Mexico who don't have papers, those who are called illegal immigrants. I've been covering this story off and on for the last 20 years, plenty of time with NBC, and it's an issue that is not new just because we're hearing so much about it now, and it is a problem that we all have to contend with. I don't know if you've been down to the border as a news reporter, Peter, but I have, and it's just hideous. The chaos is good for no one.
And do you support the sealing of our borders? There's a poll out today that shows about 70% of Californians favor the Senate version of the immigration reform, which attempts to balance the sealing of the border with worker programs, guest worker programs, and what they call the path to citizenship.
Well, the problem with that, Peter, is not really what I think so much about sealing the borders. I could perhaps be talked into, with relative ease, the being a proponent of sealing the borders, if I thought at all that that could be done. However, again, after spending time down on the border, after spending time with the Border Patrol, with so many Border Patrolmen saying it's an impossibility, after having covered borders in other places, most particularly in Berlin, where arguably the fiercest border in history existed that was not impenetrable, I don't see how that really is a legitimate argument to make, and that's why I came up with an alternative, at least for debate, because I don't think we can seal the border.
Mm-hmm. And you offer in your book, Wetback Nation, a policy prescription which involves essentially allowing Mexicans to freely cross our border back and forth at will.
Well, perhaps I do offer it, but I offer it based on coming in after reality, because realistically, currently, Mexicans can come back and forth across that border at will. Really, and again, the Border Patrol knows this better than most people, any Mexican who wants to come north comes north. Might get caught the first time or the second time, the third time, he or she will make it across the border. But what that's created of late, Peter, with the building of more barriers, with the build-up of the Border Patrol as a force, it has, and with the extra costs then involved in getting across illegally, paying a people smuggler, what that's created is a situation where, rather than the commuting culture we've had in the past of Mexicans going back and forth, we have Mexicans coming up here and staying up here. And oftentimes, they don't want to stay up here, but there's no alternative in their minds, because if they go home, it's just going to be too expensive and too difficult and too dangerous to try to come back up here for the job that they need and want and that we want them to do.
Well, and I will say this, that clearly your proposal makes a lot more sense than the idea advanced by Senator Cornyn of Texas, that we can expect somewhere between 6 and 12 million people who are in this country without appropriate papers to self-deport. Yes, senor, I volunteer to go home because you have asked me to.
Right. I mean, give me a break. If somebody's going to come up here, endanger themselves, engage in a lifestyle that is illegal, and live essentially underground, where is the incentive for going home? In fact, we have historical basis to know that this doesn't work. Operation Wetback back in the 50s was an attempt to round up Mexicans and send them home, and many were, but many weren't also. There's no incentive there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that term wetback and placed it in the 50s. I have been a little uncomfortable with the title of your book. Explain the context of the term wetback and why we shouldn't consider it a racist epithet.
Well, excuse me. Well, I think that, as is so often the case with words, it's a matter of how it's used. And I certainly don't use the term derogatorily. It's descriptive. People are coming across the Rio Grande still, and they're getting their backs wet. That's the etymology of the term, as most people must know by now. And it consequently has entered the culture as the word of choice for many people who wish to speak ill of Mexican immigrants, especially those of who are without documentation illegally. I use it, Peter, to describe what we've created for ourselves. We've made a wetback nation here in this country because we have allowed, encouraged Mexicans to come up and be second-class citizens here. Is that what we want? Do we want a wetback nation in all 50 states?
Well, no. I certainly share that sentiment. The problem is that not a lot of people will sit down and hear your explanation of the origins of your book title. And I can imagine that there's some people who would like to use the term wetback, and they feel they can't because of political correctness.
Yeah, well, I had these discussions with the publisher, and there were those in the publishing house that thought this was a mistake. You know, some of it's marketing, too. I imagine I get a few eyeballs in stores because of the word. Let's be honest, it's business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you gotten any negative repercussions from the title you selected?
No, what I've gotten, not negative repercussions from the title, I've gotten queries such as yours, and sometimes on the right-wing talk shows, I have had interviewers who are expecting me to agree with them, and then they're disappointed.
That's because they only read the title, not the book.
Indeed. Busted them. They were busy taking the book down to a used bookstore trying to sell it, the review copy.
We're talking with Peter Laufer. His book is called Wetback Nation, and I invite your calls. If you'd like to talk with him, you can agree or disagree. You can join us right now on our new toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. So what is your reaction, Peter, to the debate that has just exploded this year? We saw in the springtime some rather interesting and occasionally massive demonstrations by Latino Americans, and some of those members of the crowd were probably not U.S. citizens. And it produced a certain immediate reaction. But do you think that the voices of immigrants and the community that supports them are being adequately represented in this current discussion here?
Adequately represented, that's intriguing. I don't know. I guess I'd have to say no, because I think all of the legislation is so flawed that's being considered. The good news is that there is attention being given to what is definitely a problem. And there is some legitimacy to what some people say, what are these people doing out in the streets yelling about their rights when they're here illegally? I think it's important to point out that we do have a problem, and like so many problems, but really easier to see, perhaps, with the immigration situation, is that there certainly is no black and white here. It is illegal to come across that border. It's not just dangerous, it is illegal. And that has to be taken into account when the issue is studied. The people who are out in the street in those numbers did show that there is some political muscle there, and it's intriguing to note that the Highway Patrol, at least here in California, sets speed limits based on, within some reasonableness, on what speed people are driving. And that's the de facto aspect of the speed law. There's a de facto aspect of the immigration law, too. Historically, throughout history, it's been impossible to stop economic-driven immigration. And that's what we have here.
Well, and of course, what is seriously missing from either the Senate or the House Sensenbrenner bill is any meaningful approach trying to reduce the so-called economic magnet, the jobs that U.S. companies give, knowing that individuals are illegal and knowing that under the Bush administration, their chance of getting caught is almost nil. Last year, there were three employers in the whole country who were sanctioned by the Immigration and Naturalization Service of the Homeland Security Department for hiring illegals.
And put that up against the 1 million to 2 million who were caught trying to get into the country and sent back. That's not to say those people should have been sneaking into the country, but yeah, there had to be more than three employers. You're right. And there's another aspect to this too, Peter. People also talk a lot about the dysfunctional economy of Mexico and how Mexico is pushing its citizens up here to get rid of them and also to get money sent back to Mexico. Sure, Mexico is at fault. We've got this first world abutting the third world, and it's a corrupt scene down there, no question about it. But again, it's not so black and white, and again, we are hand in hand with them. Ford Motor Company, for example, has a plant down in Mexico. $3.50 an hour for skilled workers. $3.50 an hour for skilled workers. How much does a Ford worker make up in Dearborn? How much does a restaurant worker make in Tucson? How are we to expect that a Mexican is not going to be lured by coming up here?
Mm-hmm. Today, the government announced a new policy. Federal immigration authorities unveiled a program that's designed to induce employers to stop hiring illegal immigrants and to report those that they find on their payrolls. And they announced that the new program is voluntary, and employers must pass a series of hurdles to demonstrate that no illegal immigrants are among their employees and will then be certified as clean. They would have to submit to an audit of their employee records by immigration agents and join the Basic Pilot Employment Verification Program, a federal database that companies can use to confirm that employees' identification documents are not fraudulent. Is this going to solve any part of the problem, Peter Loffer?
I just can't imagine. You're throwing something new out at me, but any time it's voluntary and it's going to cause all of that pain in paperwork, not to mention that you might find out that Jose, your chief cook in the kitchen who makes those wonderful enchiladas that people line up for, is in fact illegal. Are you really going to risk it to get a certification from a government that you might have some problems with because of what they're doing in Iraq?
Well, you know, the voluntary program to reduce emissions from coal-fired power plants has been really effective under the Bush administration. Why wouldn't this voluntary plan work too?
Yeah, if it weren't tragic, it would be laughable.
We'll continue in just a moment. Peter Loffer is my guest. He's the author of Wetback Nation. If you have a question or a comment you'd like to join the conversation, I'd like to hear from you right now. Lines are open at 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue in just a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Tom Hartman.
Resolution 1440 explicitly said that no force could be brought to bear on Iraq until either Hans Blix or Muhammad al-Baradei, one of the two weapons inspectors, had indicated that there were either weapons of mass destruction or evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And only then could force be used against Iraq. And that never happened.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
So here's George Bush saying that we took out Saddam Hussein because he wouldn't let in the weapons inspectors. And it was Bush who pulled the weapons inspectors out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Up and down the left coast, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Let's sing along. This land is your land.
As I was walking, ribbon up highway, I saw above me, and in the skyway, I saw below me, a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made. Follow my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond desert. And all around me, a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to New York Island.
This land is your land. That's the old Woody Guthrie tune, remade by Everclear. And we continue our conversation with author Peter Laufer, L-A-U-F-E-R. His book is called Wetback Nation, and it's due out in paperback in the next couple of weeks. Your publisher, Peter?
Ivan R.D. in Chicago. Thank you, Peter. Yes, the book's been around for a while in hardback, and I'm pleased that it will be out there at a price point that makes it easier to take off the shelf.
All right, good. Now, I found this poll that I had referenced earlier. 70% of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents favor the Senate bill that was passed in May. Now, this is an unfair set of choices because I don't particularly like the Senate bill. I only like it because the House bill is so draconian, and it's also irrational. It will not work. And it will heighten, I think, the tensions between citizens and undocumented people in this country.
Sure, if you start calling people felons, it's very different than calling them somebody that just came across the border.
Yeah. Well, my hope is that this year, no legislation will actually pass out of the Congress for the president's signature, and that we can punt this forward. Maybe there will be a change in the composition of the House and Senate, and perhaps more rational minds or views would prevail in a future attempt to deal with our immigration issues. I do not dispute that we have some problems and that we ought to address them. Of course, my hope is to regularize the individuals who are here without documents, as opposed to turning them into felons. Because I want them to have driver's licenses, so when I have an accident with one of them, they have documentation and insurance. The estimate is there are over 1.5 million individuals in California who drive every day without a driver's license because they don't have citizenship documents.
And it's not just that insurance. It's also maybe, as easy as the California driving test is, you might want them to know the rules of the road. I think you can be sanguine about no legislation coming out of the Congress this year, not just that the president will sign, but anything that will come out. It's fascinating to see how divided the Republicans are. And to your point of feeling slightly more intrigued with the Senate version, I really think it's important to point out the inoperable reality of a guest worker program, especially one that says 3 years and then 3 more years maybe and then go home. What that says, Peter, the summation of that is come here, work cheap, go home.
Yeah.
And where, as you were saying earlier, is the incentive there to not be underground? It doesn't exist. And you've done work in Germany. You've seen what happened there with the guest worker program where second-class citizenship, not even citizenship, second-class status was inculcated. And now there is a problem there.
Mm-hmm. And as we look at the picture, it is a very emotional issue that's intended to whip people up in an election year. Do you think the Democrats have played this very well?
Like so much, I'm afraid to say they haven't played it well at all because they're not really playing it quickly. What's the Democrats' position? Hard one to articulate, isn't it? I mean, it really is unfortunate. What's fascinating to see is that this is a place where the Republicans have stumbled, and they are not in accord. But no, in a way, you can't fault the Democrats too much because it is awfully complicated. And again, much like the war in Iraq, we have become so mired in policy that doesn't work. It's really going to take some finesse and creativity to come up with some alternatives.
Also, I believe that once again, the Republicans have an advantage, and they've created it, in terms of framing and language. And they make it real simple. And I know a lot of people who get hung up on the black and white notion, well, gosh, they're illegal. And I just can't get over that. They're, you know, we can't talk about anything else because they're illegal.
It's a great line. Just what part of illegal don't you understand? And
yeah.
It's a good line.
Yeah, yeah. So as you see this picture evolving, the administration is not going to impose regulations that will meaningfully limit the hiring of illegals by employers here in the United States. We have a desire on the part of Republicans to try to split the bill and only do enforcement actions and try to seal the border this year. And that sounds good on paper, too. But as you pointed out earlier in our conversation, I don't think that anything we do will ever simply block everyone who attempts to enter this country.
Well, as Mexicans who make fun of the bill say, build a 10-foot wall, it's okay, we have 11-foot ladders. It just doesn't work. It hasn't worked historically. And of course, the metaphor of the Berlin Wall is wrong. It's used at times. It's wrong because the Berlin Wall was designed to keep people in, not other people out. But it does show how those kinds of fortifications just don't work. People went through the Berlin Wall all the time. And we can't build a relationship, a post-NAFTA relationship with Mexico, with a wall that's up there trying to keep people out. That's not going to work anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, Peter, I want to pull back the curtain here and advise our listeners that you and I have been warming you up a little bit because in just...
Shut up, Peter. Shut up. How's that?
Cut his microphone.
Hey.
Let's attack his parents.
Really?
Peter Lawford tonight has accepted an invitation to appear on the Fox News Channel on the Bill O'Reilly Factor. And in just a couple of hours, he'll be seated in one of those rooms where he can't actually see Bill. He'll only be able to hear him shouting over the earpiece. And Peter will attempt to maintain his composure and not get cut off. Now, I understand that due to some special circumstances, this is actually going to be a live broadcast of The Factor tonight. So his ability to edit you out would require embarrassment on his part.
Well, I don't think it'll get to that. Peter, as you just heard, and as you know, because we've worked together before, as you mentioned earlier, I've got a pretty rational point of view, and why not talk about it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's going to be very interesting. What are you doing to gird for this event, besides this?
Well, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to go down to Grumpy's and have 7 margaritas.
Well, I want to wish you the best. I'm going out this evening, but I have instructed my TiVo to capture your appearance, and I had to undo the V-chip, which prevents me from watching the Fox News Channel, to try to maintain my delicate mental balance.
Delicate it is. I think it'll be fascinating, and I think that it's important. You and I agree on an awful lot of things politically, Peter, and it's fascinating to talk with you about them as we learn from these kinds of conversations, and I, of course, appreciate the Tribune to be able to talk to all your listeners, but I think it's important to engage those with whom we disagree and to try to find the commonality we need to move policy forward.
Indeed, and when you first told me about this, I said, Peter, do it.
Sure.
Because we do need to have our perspectives and other voices heard, even when O'Reilly's going to try to sandbag you and set you up and probably call you a latte-quaffing San Francisco liberal. I'm sure you're prepared for that, though.
Indeed, I drink tea as a San Francisco liberal, not latte. Not a problem. I don't foresee any difficulty here, Peter. I think that he'll be the gentleman that he can be.
Yeah, you're such a positive thinker.
Yeah.
All right, Peter. Well, we'll be watching, and I hope you do well. And I've instructed my listeners to boycott Chris Matthews' hardball show tonight because Ann Coulter is on.
Ah.
And to hold their dinner until they've watched you on the O'Reilly Factor.
Well, I appreciate that, Peter, and I appreciate the attention to the book.
It's Wetback Nation, coming out in paperback. Thank you, Peter Laufer.
And thank you, Peter B.
My pleasure. All right, coming up next, our update on the Middle East from Chris Tonsing, the Middle East Report. And Colonel Sam Gardner with the latest intel. Can you say Turkey? You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I am Attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A positive drug test for the winner of the Tour de France.
All I'm asking for from me is that I'd be given a chance to prove that I'm innocent.
And have Colorado authorities uncovered one of the country's worst serial killers.
He's kind of taunted us off and on over the years.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammy McCormick. He won the Tour de France in a stunning comeback, and now another shocking turn. American Floyd Landis has failed a drug test.
The drugs we're talking about here, I think people should know, is testosterone. And we're talking about ratios of testosterone that are very carefully calibrated and permissible as far as the World Anti-Doping Agency is concerned.
Correspondent Armin Katay and Landis held a conference call with reporters at this past hour.
Everybody take a step back. I don't know what your position is now, and I wouldn't blame you if it was a bit skeptical because of what cycling has been through in the past and the way other cases have gone.
Landis says he plans to submit to other tests tomorrow. He says he's taking a small amount of hormones for a thyroid condition and getting cortisone shots for hip pain, and he says that may have skewed the results. Now this.
When other ways of getting to sleep don't work, there's something you should know. Tylenol PM relieves pain and sleeplessness with the pure pain relief of Tylenol and a sleep aid that's safe and non-habit forming when used as directed. So it will help when other ways can't. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM.
CompUSA email bag.
Lisa emails, Dear CompUSA, I need a great camera, but I'm a student, so I also need a great deal. Okay, Lisa, how about $120 off a 5-megapixel Kodak EasyShare digital camera? That's right, $120 off. That puts it under $130 after savings and rebate, our lowest price ever. That and hundreds more back-to-school deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. See store for details.
A chilling revelation from a Colorado man serving time for murder. He has claimed responsibility for up to 48 killings nationwide. Robert Charles Brown has told authorities that murders took place over a 20-year period.
Essentially says there's one in Washington, two in California, nine in Colorado, two in New Mexico, seven in Texas, two in Oklahoma, 17 in Louisiana, three in Mississippi, and five in Arkansas.
El Paso County Sheriff Terry Makita says it was a cold case investigator who Brown eventually opened up to, saying he'd strangled, shot, or stabbed his victims.
He would have a real difficult time giving us names. So in most cases, we wouldn't have a name. We would often have a location where he claimed to dump the body.
If Brown's claims are verified, it would make him one of America's worst serial killers. In Lebanon, there was no let-up in the fighting today. The country's president, Emil Lahoud.
I believe that they are going to have everything destroyed in Lebanon.
Israel is giving no indication the military action will end soon, but its inner cabinet has apparently ruled out a full-scale ground invasion.
The top Army and Air Force generals wanted government permission to send in a lot more ground troops, hoping to overwhelm Hezbollah fighters. But Israeli political leaders felt that would look like an all-out invasion, as in 1982. Prime Minister Olmert declared that the current mix of pinpoint attacks on specific villages, plus the use of air power to knock out rocket launchers, seems to be about right.
Correspondent Dan Rabib, at least 27 people died in Baghdad today in a series of car bombings and mortar attacks. CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman is in the Iraqi capital.
There are about 100 civilians a day being killed here, about half of them in Baghdad. This is a security crisis that is getting worse, not better. More than 4,000 U.S. troops are on their way to patrol the city streets, and people here are wondering whether they can really make any difference, because this violence, for now, in certain neighborhoods at least, is just out of control.
More U.S. troops are heading there to assist in security. And as CBS News correspondent David Martin reports from the Pentagon, some tours are being extended for soldiers already on the ground.
Defense Secretary Rumsfeld has made the decision to extend a brigade of about 3,700 troops currently in Iraq past their one-year tour of duty in order to be available for this new Baghdad security plan.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Hey, Orkin Man, I'm preparing for an invasion.
Really?
Yeah, I got sandbags at every door.
Well, ants and roaches only need an opening the width of a dime.
Oh, what if I duct tape the entire house?
I'd call Orkin first. We've been fighting invasions for over 100 years. We can help prevent pests and still let in sunlight.
Oh, sunlight, right.
Always thinking ahead.
Protect your home, protect your family. Orkin can help. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN.
President Bush today signed the Adam Walsh Child Protection Act into law.
And we launch another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show from the Left Coast. I'm glad you're listening. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Colonel Sam Gardner. He is a frequent contributor to our program, a retired Air Force colonel, taught at the War College, and he has interesting intel to bring along to us. And I don't want to steal his thunder, but we're going to talk a little bit about Turkey and how they fit into the Middle East picture today. And coming up a little later this hour, Amira Woods will join us. She's just returned from Ethiopia, where things are heating up. Ethiopian troops have headed into Somalia, and we'll get the lowdown there. The Somali government is described as teetering, and we'll find out more about that. It's not on the big picture radar, but I think it's important, and we'll get details coming up here shortly. But first, Chris Tonsing returns. In this time period, we present an update as often as we can about the events in the Middle East. And Chris, I want to thank you once again for your work and for joining us today. Yesterday, quite a tough day in the Israeli incursion into Lebanon, as they lost nine or ten soldiers, 25 wounded, in the area of Bint Jabail. And it appears they were surprised by the tenacity of this counterattack from Hezbollah.
Yeah, well, I think U.S. military sources have been telling reporters that their read is that Israel was surprised by the ferocity of the resistance from the Hezbollah fighters. There have been soldiers returning from the front who have been telling the Israeli press that these are much better fighters than Hamas, certainly, or Palestinian militant groups, and the best that they've faced. Keep in mind, of course, most of the current generation of Israeli soldiers haven't fought in a major land war with the Arab armies that Israel fought in the past. So they may not be comparing to the armies in the past, but yes, it does appear. I think certainly, the conflict is not going exactly according to plan. I think Israel seems to be dialing back its original objectives. They're now talking about degrading Hezbollah's rocket firing capabilities, or at least altering the situation enough, hitting Hezbollah hard enough that they may think twice about precipitating a border incident in the future. And that would be considerably short of their originally announced goals, which would be to essentially eliminate Hezbollah as a fighting force entirely.
And the Hezbollah side has not been quiet. They continue to launch missiles, and the Israelis continue to operate on two fronts. They were very active in Gaza yesterday, as well as airstrikes on Tyre. Any other military action that we ought to cover before we go to the diplomatic side?
I think that about covers it. I mean, there was a pretty serious incursion into Gaza. 23 Palestinians were killed, some armed gunmen, but several civilians there. So that's a pretty serious escalation of the fighting down there.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, in Rome, there was near unanimity, but the United States would not join the call for an immediate ceasefire. And the picture that many Americans saw today was of a very frustrated Condoleezza Rice, as she had to stand there and listen to Prime Minister Signoria of Lebanon describe not only the carnage, but also shaming this group, including Rice, by asking if a drop of Lebanese blood is worth less than a drop of Israeli tears.
Right. I think the only thing that the Rome summit achieved was to demonstrate the isolation of the U.S. and its allies, Great Britain and Israel, on the world stage. And they're the only major countries that are opposing an immediate ceasefire. Everyone else is calling for one. The U.S. left that summit pushing its own plan, which does not involve a ceasefire first, but involves putting together this international stabilization force that would essentially act as a buffer between the Israeli army and northern Lebanon. And I just think it remains to be seen whether that force can be put together, whether they're going to be able to recruit enough soldiers from NATO countries or UN member countries to staff that force.
Well, and Chris, it's important to note that a lot of countries aren't willing to send peacekeepers in until there's peace. They don't want to be in the position of having to try to disarm Hezbollah.
Right. I mean, there are not many armies probably that would agree to send soldiers for a force that was actually a peacemaking force, one that was authorized to shoot and was going to be expected to shoot at Hezbollah to forcibly disarm them. So that could be kind of a non-starter. And also the other thing that happened in the last couple of days, which is going to complicate that task greatly, is the shelling, the Israeli shelling, whether inadvertent or not, of the UN, the UNIFIL post in South Lebanon, which killed four UNIFIL observers.
Yeah, and that certainly is going to cause the United Nations to be a little cautious about how soon they commit peacekeeping forces there. And again, I don't think that we can expect that any international force would want to continue the hostilities. The idea would be they'd want to try to keep the parties apart and prevent any further outbreaks.
I think that's right. And so realistically, the options we're looking at in terms of what, you know, what the scenario is going to look like in the coming weeks, first of all, I mean, the primary question is how long will Washington's green light for the Israeli military offensive continue? That's the first question. But assuming that it continues to be, that light continues to be green, then Israel is looking at either a full-scale ground invasion of Lebanon. They haven't applied the full force on the ground that they could. They could step that up and really commit themselves to a fairly long ground war in which they would aim to root out all of the Hezbollah militiamen down there in the south and establish some kind of security zone like they occupied in South Lebanon before. That would be a major undertaking. It's questionable whether Israeli public opinion would stand for that, since Israel, you know, was essentially compelled to withdraw from Lebanon after having been there for so long by the guerrilla war with Hezbollah. Not sure that Israelis want to go through that again. And then, you know, other options would be escalating the war in other ways, bringing in Syria, or to achieve a kind of decisive victory that could be sold at home as having changed the rules of the game for good on that front of Israel's Arab conflicts with its Arab neighbors, or, you know, moving, just calling this all off and moving back.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if I were a betting man, I would bet on one or another escalating option, and that mm-hmm. seems to be what most of the Israeli military commentators are calling for.
That's Chris Tonsing from the Middle East Report. You can visit their website, merip.org. Chris, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. We're going to be joined now by Colonel Sam Gardner, and feel free to stay on the line and pipe up if there's something you'd like to add to our discussion. Sam, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you. Good to talk to you again.
How are you doing?
Great.
Good. I got your email today, and so I wanted to first commission the Peter B. Collins Show Apologetic Chorus.
Whoa!
Because you started off with, whoops, I think I made a mistake, and here we go.
Thanks to you.
Apologia, that's what I was trying to say.
Okay.
In your email, why don't you just go ahead and tell us. You said you think you made a mistake. You said yesterday you expected Iran to be next. Let me revise. You take it from there, Sam Gardner.
Okay, well, it became clear with some press sources calling me and with what one can read in the Turkish press that the next operation is going to be northern Iraq. It seems as if the president over the weekend made an agreement with the Turkish prime minister, breaking a long time attempt for us to stop them, but an agreement that will allow the Turkish army to go into northern Iraq and attack the PKK, which is the Kurdish Workers' Party,
mm-hmm.
Which there are about 5,000 of.
Right.
We're likely to see within the next week, would be my guess, a major operation in northern Iraq.
Okay, Chris dropped on us. Okay, Chris, bye-bye. Wow. Now, I did hear a report last week that Turkey had sent some teams, either special teams or commando types,
yes,
into northern Iraq. Is that a recon effort?
They have been doing that for quite a while. In fact, some estimates are that they may have as many as 2,000 people inside Iraq. You know, when you get up to that part of Turkey and Iraq, the border is very fuzzy.
Sure.
So even knowing how many are there. But the point is that they have been operating some level of force inside Iraq up to this point, but the United States has told them over and over again up to now, don't go after these camps where these the Kurdish fighters are, and now seemingly the green light has been given.
Interesting. Now, also over the weekend, the president met with Saudi officials before dispatching rice to the Middle East. Do you have any sense that Saudi Arabia either condones or was consulted on this Turkish move?
Not about the Turkish move,
mm-hmm.
But I can't remember that. I think that, in fact, one of the major items of the week was the announcement by King Abdullah. I don't know whether you caught what he said, but he said, I'm going to try and quote it. I'll get as close as I can. Something to the effect that the Israeli arrogance could lead to a war in the wider Middle East that we would all come to find something horrible. I think what's happening is, you know, it hasn't been very popular to talk about the Arab Street.
Right.
You know, that sort of went away. We used to talk about the Arab Street. I think what's happening in this situation is that the street is becoming more of a player.
Mm-hmm. Sam, we got to pause for a break. We'll pick up there and talk more about the street. Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the U.S. Air Force, is our guest right now. If you have a question or comment, we'll entertain it. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
The Monterey County Democrats invite all KRXA listeners to join them this Saturday from noon to 3 at the Democratic Reunion and Voter Registration Drive Kickoff Picnic. The drive and picnic will take place at Natividad Creek Park, 1395 Nogal Drive in Salinas. This is a unique opportunity to meet with your elected leaders, candidates, and special guests in a casual setting while enjoying free food and fun. RSVP to 1-866-679-3367 or browse to www.democrats.org.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Mike Serrari of the National Wealth Builders as he talks about the San Francisco Overseas Property Expo, August 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Hilton San Francisco. It's being presented by Live Well Magazine and the National Wealth Builders. If you've ever wanted to know about investing in beautiful locations like Europe, the Caribbean, the Bahamas, and Africa, this is the place to be. Rock Roller Real Estate, heard every Sunday morning at 10. For more information, call 408-892-3376.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540. Sig alert working in Santa Cruz, South 17, the off-ramp to Ocean. That ramp is closed due to a major injury accident. Southbound 17 is backed up to Paso Tiempo Drive. Northbound Highway 1 is backed up to Soquel. Note, this could be a fatal accident, so it could be here a while. Southbound 17 off-ramp to Ocean, that ramp is closed due to, once again, a major injury accident. Watsonville, Minto Road at Green Valley Road, grass fire burning near the roadway. Fire department isn't on the scene there. Also back to Capitola, southbound Highway 1 at Parks, boards with nails sticking out in lanes. Pepsi presents free Friday night bands at the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. See the English Beat Friday, two shows, 6:30 and 8:30. For the complete series lineup, go to beachboardwalk.com. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
22 minutes past the hour as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the United States Air Force. He's got some great contacts in the military and intelligence communities, and he's sharing what he knows with us about the situation in the Middle East and the intentions of the Bush administration. Sam, during the break, I found the quote that you're looking for from King Abdullah. Said, if the option of peace fails as a result of Israeli arrogance, then the only option remaining will be war. And God alone knows what the region would witness in a conflict that would spare no one. His statement was most likely a warning to the United States.
Yes, yes.
So if that is his perspective, we have a lot of interlocking flashpoints here.
Certainly.
That are hard for many Americans to, understand, comprehend, and separate. But how do you see this evolving? Is this part of an intentional plan by the Bush administration to create what Rice once referred to as creative chaos in the Middle East as the way of moving forward toward the PNAC blueprint?
Let me work backwards from what I'm hearing. It's from press sources, too. Actually, they are as concerned as my friends who used to be in government.
Mm-hmm.
But there is overwhelming evidence that the plan is to attack Iran. I mean, that's all these arguments about we're stretched too thin, all of that, that's all been dismissed on the inside. They have a plan. It's in the White House. The military in the White House has been discussing. Right now, it looks as if that would take place after the election.
Mm-hmm.
It appears to me as if what the president is doing is using the situation and the fighting between Hezbollah and Israel as an argument that will lead us to the final justification for that strike on Iran.
Mm-hmm.
It will not be about the nuclear program, although that will be part of it. But today you notice the president made a big point. It's all about Iran, and it's time for the world to do something about that danger. I mean, you and I talked before, I watched the communication strategy unfold for Gulf 2, and I have this eerie sense of the same thing happening.
Yeah.
It's about terrorism, it's about Iran, and there even has been some leaks that Al-Qaeda is in Iran. And so mm-hmm. you can see how this, to build public opinion, this moving down this stream that we're going to see that Iran has to be struck.
Mm-hmm. And in your view, is the current incursion by Israel into Lebanon connected with the Bush planning, or is it simply convenient?
It is connected.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I was told by a press source as much as a year ago that there was a private agreement between the president and Sharon, and that probably has extended into the new Israeli administration, and it was that they would take care of what's going on of Hezbollah, and we would take care of Iran. I've been told there were discussions before all this took place. I think you and I talked about, we knew and the Israelis knew of meetings that went on before the kidnappings.
Mm-hmm.
Not that necessarily we knew where and when the kidnappings took place, but we knew something was coming. And I think Israel would not have reacted the way it did had it not had some prior agreement from the United States that we would do what we've been doing, which is essentially give them the option to proceed for a while.
Mm-hmm. Sam Gardner, circling back to the information about Turkey, do you suspect that President Bush and Mr. Erdogan, the Prime Minister of Turkey, reached an additional deal related to Iran? In other words, if we're permitting Turkey to clean up its problems with the with Kurdistan, which is now pretty permanently established in northern Iraq, it does bleed over into their border area, and I've followed Turkey and the Kurds for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
They're ruthless in putting the Kurds down.
Yeah.
And in some cases the Kurds have used terrorism, and there can be some rationale for it. On the other hand, is the deal with Turkey to become a part of a phony coalition to go into Iran or to attack Iran?
I don't think so, because we don't need their help. Mm-hmm. You know, unlike during Gulf II, we wanted to have military base there. But the plan for Iran is essentially a standoff air and missile operation that will go on for 72 hours or something like that. So that Iran is not, or Turkey's not needed. What it is, the agreement, however, is that Turkey, and as you saw, that they agreed to be part of a peacekeeping force that would go in and I'll say where we are today, they would, quote, disarm Hezbollah, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the trade-off.
Yeah. Just 1 minute remaining, Sam. What would you like to mention that I haven't asked you about?
I said the story is unfolding, as we talked a couple weeks ago, that sounds very much like the way World War I started. It's frightening.
Mm-hmm. And so when you hear Newt Gingrich describe this as a potential World War III, that's not an overstatement?
Well, I must say that what I hate is the way he does it gleefully. There's a twinkle in his eye, and there ought to be a fear in his voice and an attempt to stop it rather than a cheerleader for it.
Yeah. Sam Gardner, keep those emails coming, and let's talk again soon. I appreciate your input.
Good to talk to you, Adrian.
All right. Sam Gardner, he is retired from the United States Air Force and has very interesting information for us. Coming up next, we're going to take a look at a story that's not in the news. It's the situation between Ethiopia and Somalia. Conflict there, and the Somali government is on the verge of breaking down. We'll get a report from Amira Woods, just back from Ethiopia, coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Kia Sedona, a 7-passenger minivan with 3 rows of seats. With a low price and generous warranties, Kia is getting more competitive with Japanese and American car makers. The Sedona has a 3.8-liter fuel-injected 6-cylinder engine and a 5-speed automatic with average power and acceleration. It passed our grueling hill climb test with no problem. It's roomy inside, and the third seat folds flat for cargo, but wouldn't be comfortable for an all-day trip. My demo has AC and power locks, but it's not loaded with accessories or leather. By the numbers, the 2006 Kia Sedona minivan gets 18 mpg in the city, 25 miles to the gallon on the highway, and stickers in California for about $24,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
I'm tired of all these old TVs and computers trashing our garage. Can't we get rid of them once and for all?
I'd love to, honey, but it costs so much to get rid of them.
This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you can dispose of your electronic waste, TVs, monitors, old computers, and more, and it won't cost you a dime. Bring them to the Monterey Fairgrounds, and the garage will be yours again. The Electronic Waste Disposal event is happening this Friday through Sunday, July 28th, 29th, and 30th at the Monterey Fairgrounds in Monterey. Go to noewaste.com for more information. That's noewaste.com.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk about the Clean Money Initiative on California's ballot this November. And we'll be taking lots of your phone calls, too, in the free speech zone right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. This half hour, we want to draw your attention to a situation that is not getting much coverage in the American media and should cause serious concern. This dispatch in from Baidoa, Somalia today. Somalia's virtually powerless government was unraveling Thursday as one-fifth of its cabinet resigned in disgust, and the administration's Islamic rivals took over the presidential palace in the capital of Mogadishu. 18 key ministers in the 102-member cabinet said their government has failed to bring peace to this chaotic African nation as it emerges from 15 years of anarchy. The leadership has no power outside of its base in Baidoa, 55 miles from the capital. To learn more about this, we turn to Emira Woods. She is co-director of the Foreign Policy in Focus for the Institute for Policy Studies, and she has just returned from West Africa, which is a good distance from the area we're talking about. Nonetheless, we certainly appreciate you joining us today, Emira Woods.
Well, thank you so much for doing this segment. It's so critical that there is news on these often neglected areas in terms of the broader U.S. media. So thank you so much for this show.
Well, I'm pleased to do it. I can't say I'm happy because these are very difficult subjects to discuss. And as you are mentioning, it is very difficult to get attention in the American media right now because of the conflict between Israel and Hezbollah and, of course, our ongoing problems in Iraq, the saber-rattling with Iran, and that's what we devote a lot of our attention to on this program currently, Emira. But I think it's important to take a break from that and try to help people understand that there are other serious conflicts emerging around the world.
Without a doubt, there are connections. And if you think about just the geostrategic location of Somalia and Ethiopia as well, just along the Red Sea, just across from Yemen, from Saudi Arabia, very much connected to the issues of the Middle East as well. It's often difficult for people to recognize the geopolitical connections between the countries, particularly in the Horn of Africa region, and the Middle East just across the waters.
And one common thread is that Islamic fundamentalists or activists are present in many of these nations, and I got out my World Atlas to help me understand the proximity here, and you're certainly correct that Saudi Arabia and Yemen are just across the Red Sea there, and this whole region of the world is interconnected along ethnic, religious, and commercial lines.
Without a doubt, and also along political lines. I mean, let's go back to the issues of Somalia. Oftentimes people talk about the crisis now without recognizing that before this 15-year period, Somalia was used almost as like a bouncing ball between the U.S. and the Soviet Union during that time of the Cold War, each sort of creating their own puppets and puppet regimes along the way, but using Somalia as sort of the hot potato between the two at different periods in time, and creating a situation where the fall of the wall, really, and the end of the Cold War left an incredible political vacuum in Somalia. And the 15 years since then has been it's chaos, essentially. There has been no central government. It has been individual clans really controlling different parts of the country. It is only the northern part of the country, Somaliland, which has asserted its independence and asserted its autonomy as a separate country, really, a separate state. That region has maintained stability over the 15 years, but really much of the country since the end of the Cold War and the end of the U.S. and the USSR arming various factions and various political machineries within the country that then left a political vacuum that has remained till today.
And the average American really only knows the situation from the movie Black Hawk Down.
Without a doubt. It was only a snapshot of the U.S. Marines going in and being shot down without putting it in the context of why the Marines were needed in the first place. Why was there instability? It is because of the strategic location of Somalia and both the U.S. and USSR having poured so many weapons into the country over the 2.5 decades, really, preceding that time, that created such a volatile situation that has still not been resolved today.
Mm-hmm. And when the first President Bush committed U.S. troops, not a lot, and it wasn't a significant effort in most respects, but he made a token gesture. After he had lost the election in 1992, he committed a U.S. presence there, and then it was left to Bill Clinton, who had no experience in foreign policy or military affairs, to deal with the mess that ensued. And then that became one of those episodes in which America was seen as cutting and running. And,
well,
of course, that doesn't do justice to, as you point out, the underlying issues that drew America in there to try to insert a little peace.
I think the issue was more creating a situation where Band-Aids were being put on gaping wounds without dealing with the core issues that were creating the wounds. And so it's much more a sense of, stopgap measures. Let's send in and put forward the allure, the window dressing of a responsible foreign policy, when actually there was, to a large extent, a disaggregated policy, a policy that was not really well thought through. And you would have a situation where arms were still flowing in, even though it was fueling the crisis even further.
Mm-hmm. And so, we can't give people a full lecture here on the history of these issues, but as Somalia appears to be on the verge of internal collapse, and that's, we have to put that in a proper frame, because as you pointed out, there hasn't been a functional government for the whole country for, what, 15, 20?
15 years now,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, the last guy was the
Siad
dictator.
Barre. He was a military leader, a military dictator, many would say, again, who was at one point pitted towards as a puppet of the U.S. and then the USSR and just went back and forth, but he was the last standing president. And since then, there have been many attempts to bring national reconciliation, to bring a central government to power, and many of those attempts have faltered along the way. And some of the Somalis would say it is because they have not gotten the adequate political backing and political support mm-hmm. from the international community to this date.
A cynical question, is there any oil in Somalia that would make it a geopolitical of geopolitical interest?
Not that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. There is so much with oil exploration that is changing steadily in the African continent that I would definitely never rule it out, because mm-hmm. clearly neighboring countries have found oil. But what is perhaps even more valuable is that kind of high-priced real estate there on the Red Sea and control of the waterways, which also would affect trade and particularly maritime trade from the Middle East to other parts of the world. So it is a vital maritime zone.
We're talking with Amira Woods from the Institute for Policy Studies. If you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Now, tell us a little bit about the current conflict between Ethiopia and Somalia. I read a report online today that over the past week or so, Ethiopia has inserted troops into a portion of Somalia.
Well, again, I think there we have to pull back the lens a bit to put it in the context of history. And there, I think it's important to recognize that Ethiopia and Somalia have had ongoing crises, clashes, wars from the 1970s. You know, I think 76 to 78 was the first in the Ogaden War over that bordering area that's along both the Ethiopian and the Somali coasts. And you also have had clashes in the early 80s. So there is a history at play there before this week. But what has happened this week is incredibly worrisome because it is the Ethiopian government's assertion of its military might across the border into Somalia and could create a destabilizing effect on both the Somali end and also the Ethiopia end. There are tremendous amounts of Somali refugees who are in Ethiopia. There are also Somali Ethiopians who live on the Ethiopian side of the border and have political issues as well with the central government in Ethiopia. So you have a tenuous situation in Ethiopia where there were elections in May of 2005. Those elections were said to not have been free and fair, were disputed by opposition leaders and by much of the citizenry outside the capital city. And that led to a series of clashes with police and other disturbances, which culminated in November 2005 with about 150 political prisoners being detained. Some of them were civil society leaders like the representative of the non-governmental organization ActionAid. They were human rights lawyers. They were former and current UN staff that had gone to Ethiopia who were all basically rounded up and have been detained as political prisoners till today. And so you have in Ethiopia an unstable political environment. You have in Somalia also an unstable political environment. And these clashes over the past week are incredibly dangerous because of potential political fallout on both sides to create an even more volatile mix of actors both within the countries and between countries. So my worry is, my fear is that as you have had a war with Ethiopia and its neighbor to the north, Eritrea, this action this past week may lead to an ongoing war that develops with Ethiopia and Somalia and creates a vacuum that will unfortunately leave innocent civilians to pay the price for many, many years to come.
At a time while the world is heavily distracted and committed in other parts of the world.
Without a doubt, and having real issues dealing with those conflicts, whether it is the conflicts now underway in Lebanon, where civilians are again heavily paying the toll, or the conflicts in Iraq, where again civilians are paying that toll.
There is a pattern developing, yes.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. And the international community has to recognize that, you know, our protocols from the Geneva Convention on through that were enshrined with this notion of protecting civilians have so broken down, and we need to work towards new rules of engaging as members of this global community. Otherwise, we will continue in this kind of destabilizing pattern that really ends up with no.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a quick break and return with Amira Woods. She's co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus for the Institute for Policy Studies, just back from Africa, and we're talking about the serious situation between Ethiopia and Somalia, in deeper doo-doo than it has been in a while. How's that? We'll talk more as we continue. You can join us with a question or comment. Toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Mendez Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540. Did have a major problem in the Santa Cruz area. South 17, the off-ramp to Ocean Avenue was closed because of a major injury accident. All lanes are now open. And South 17, the damage done. Traffic backed up to Paso Tiempo Drive. Northbound Highway 1 slows from Soquel. So once again, South 17 off-ramp to Ocean has been reopened. It had been closed for a better part of the afternoon. Watsonville, Minto at Green Valley Road. Grass fire burning near the roadway. Fire department is on the scene there. Hecker Pass, Highway 152, west of Casterly Road. It's a large tree branch between the lanes. Morgandale, Croy at Croy Bridge. Solo accident working there. You can win a free Shell gas card worth $25 or $50. Hurry so you can fill up those tanks for that long summer road trip. Call 888-898-6402. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 or older to enter. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 50 minutes past the hour, and we're talking with Emira Woods from the Institute for Policy Studies. And you're hearing about some news that is not mostly available in the American media. It's being overlooked because of the other issues and, well, also because I think that America doesn't believe that Ethiopia and Somalia represent interests of the United States. And that's tragic in many ways, similar to the problems we've had in the Sudan, where too many Americans just say, well, it's not my problem, man. And as we look at this, Emira Woods, this is a burgeoning conflict. And what do you see as some of the potential ways that it could spin out and force the United States and other world leaders to pay attention and take it seriously?
Well, I think there is, in the case of Ethiopia, such a close relationship with the U.S., the Bush administration in particular, that the worry is that that Ethiopia isn't being used as a proxy for America now. That I think that is probably the biggest concern on the continent now. So the way it could spin out could be the U.S. as an ally to Ethiopia continuing to fuel arms and fuel the crisis by sending military equipment, by continuing its military assistance to Ethiopia at very much a time when the situation is so volatile, and that equipment, those arms, then get used against civilians in Somalia. And so I would think that the first step is to have what has happened in the case of Ethiopia and Eritrea. The United Nations came in and basically created a buffer zone between the two countries to maintain a zone of security between the two countries. So there are UN peacekeepers that are in that border area between Ethiopia and Eritrea, its neighbor to the north, to prevent outright conflict. I would say a similar response is needed in the case of Ethiopia's border with Somalia. There needs to be some type of an international peacekeeping presence that will prevent continuous excursions of the military from Ethiopia into the Somali side, and which could further destabilize the situation, as I said, on both sides of the border. So creating some type of a security presence where you have peacekeepers who are able to have a zone that is conflict-free. This is the type of rapid response that is actually needed before any more lives are lost.
And can you give us a quick sketch of the recent history, anyway, of the tensions between Eritrea and Ethiopia?
Well, that unfortunately is a 30-year history, but to be quick, you know, there were tensions between the two countries. It did last for 30 years, and that ended in the early 1990s with the end of a war between those two countries and final independence for Eritrea after that 30-year battle. Eritrea is on the Red Sea, and it is the access point for Ethiopia to the ports on the Red Sea.
And was it partitioned from Ethiopia or from Sudan?
No, Eritrea was partitioned from Ethiopia. It was at war with Ethiopia over that very line of demarcation. What would be the border, and could there be an independent country called Eritrea? That was the underlying issue of the 30-year war. And at the conclusion of that war, a separate country was carved out of Ethiopia. That country is called Eritrea. And with that carving out of Eritrea, you have the only access to the Red Sea for Ethiopia cut off. So again, it's Ethiopia to its north. To get to the sea, you have now Eritrea. And on the other end, you have Somalia also with the access to the sea.
And what about
Ethiopia itself is landlocked.
What about Djibouti? That is kind of sandwiched in there between the coast and the Ethiopia mainland.
Right. Well, Djibouti is actually slightly to the north of Somalia, Somaliland, and then and also one of the neighboring countries of Eritrea. Djibouti has perhaps one of the largest international troop presence. The French have been in Djibouti for quite some time and have maintained a strong role in the country, both in the political process and in the economy of Djibouti. But Djibouti has not been drawn into this conflict, either the conflict between Ethiopia and Eritrea or the conflict between Ethiopia and Somalia.
But Djibouti is right there at the Gulf of Aden, at really the nexus of the Red Sea and the Indian Ocean. Right. And it, it appears just on the map that it would provide access for Ethiopia if, of course, they get along.
Right, and to date that has not been the issue in terms of Ethiopia's access to the ports from that end. The Ethiopian access to the ports have been much more an issue with its neighbor Eritrea, because those were historically ports used by the country of Ethiopia when it was one united country.
I see.
So that's why it was more of an issue in that conflict. There has not been any outright conflict with Djibouti. There have been actually positive relations between Djibouti and Somaliland to the north of Somalia.
And so what is the intention of Ethiopia in sending troops into Somalia? Is it an attempt to try to stabilize the situation? Is it an intention to expand territory? What are their aims?
Well, on the surface, as you look at the statements coming from the Ethiopian government, it is to support the newly established government in Somalia. It is to lend a hand, so to speak. If you look just on the surface, but below the surface, surface are these historic tensions, which make the types of military presence, you know, first 200 troops and then an additional force load going forward into Somalia from Ethiopia, it is worrisome that it will continue to escalate again. It's very similar with Israel sending over forces into Lebanon, mm-hmm. and those forces just keep coming. The worry is that it will continue to escalate and to create further tensions and clashes that then break out into a full-blown war between the two countries.
So will Ethiopia and Eritrea clash in Somalia? Is that a prospect?
Not a likely prospect, no. Mm-hmm. Each of those border tensions have been kept separate. So what is more an issue would be the proxy going on where various forces are supporting various actors within that sub-region for their own political expedience.
Mm-hmm. A final question in just about 30 seconds remaining. The president is planning to nominate Dr. Cindy Lou Courville to be heading the U.S. mission to the African Union. This is the first time an ambassador-level appointment has been made to the AU. Is this good news, and do you know anything about Cindy Lou Courville?
Well, Dr. Courville is an African-American woman. She has been the lead person for Africa as part of the National Security Council, long-time affiliated with Nigeria and other African states on the issues of security. And, you know, I guess it's good that the Bush administration has at long last, after 3 years of people requesting, has long last made a posting for the African Union showing mm-hmm. its significance at long last. But there are many issues whether or not this is the right person mm-hmm. at the right time with so many.
We've got to stop now. Amira Woods, thank you for joining us from the Institute for Policy Studies on the... Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
From colic to tantrums to transitions, our children often express their discomfort by crying. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and my guest Tanya Crowder, author of the book When Your Baby Won't Stop Crying, to discuss the underlying causes of our children's tears. Call on Sunday with your questions.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
On Sunday, July 30th at 6:30 p.m., Palestinian Ambassador Afif Safiya will speak at the Monterey Institute of International Studies Irvine Auditorium, 499 Pierce Street. The Institute's Graduate School of International Policy Studies and its Conflict Resolution Club, the Peace Coalition for Monterey County, and Citizens for Middle East Peace, a local interfaith alliance, are sponsoring the free talk to be given by the ambassador from Palestine, followed by a benefit reception. For more information, please call 373-1715.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick.
I would like to be assumed innocent until proven guilty.
American Floyd Landis, winner of the Tour de France after he tested positive for high testosterone. CBS News correspondent Armin Katayan.
When you wear that yellow jersey signifying the overall leader of the race, you are tested after every stage, and then you are tested again when you win a stage, meaning Floyd was tested at least a half a dozen times during this tour, making this news all the more stunning.
Landis has been suspended from his team for now. Barry Bonds' trainer was in federal court today in San Francisco. He was ordered to testify about allegations against Bonds of perjury and tax evasion. He has refused to answer questions and was jailed once before. Colorado authorities think they've got a serial killer on their hands, already behind bars, but admitting to 48 killings, aside from the one he's serving time for.
At this point, we have 7 that are cooperated and 41 that we haven't been able to, and they spread of a time period from 1970 up through 1995.
El Paso County Sheriff Terry Makita says Robert Charles Brown has confessed to killings in 9 states. He says Brown could be exaggerating, but they're following up just in case. The fighting in the Middle East claimed the lives of 5 Palestinians in Gaza today, and in Lebanon, the Israelis kept up the pressure from the air. They're also preparing for more ground battles, as CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv reports.
Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and other senior ministers in what's become the War Cabinet authorized the Army to call up to 30,000 reserve soldiers to active duty. The military said it won't activate that many right away, but fresh troops may be needed in Lebanon because the combat there has been intense, soldiers exhausted.
Israel's cabinet did not, however, approve an expanded war with Hezbollah that might include a major ground invasion. The UN Security Council approved a statement today expressing shock and distress at Israel's bombing of a UN outpost in Lebanon, in which four observers were killed. The U.S. insisted that any wording suggesting condemnation for the attack or that it was deliberate be dropped. Israel's U.N. Ambassador Dan Gillerman called the statement fair.
This is the right thing to do, both in memory of the people who were killed doing their duty and also as a concern of the international community.
Authorities in California now say the heat wave there could be responsible for 90 deaths. Oil giant ExxonMobil earned more than $10.3 billion last quarter, profits that have many drivers seeing red.
We see Exxon showing incredible profits at a time when we see some of the highest gas prices we've ever seen in the nation. It seems that they go hand in hand, don't they?
Brad Proctor of GasPriceWatch.com, the profits were the second highest ever for a U.S. company. New home sales were down in June for the first time in 4 months, even as mortgage rates dipped slightly. And on Wall Street, the Dow finished off by two. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar emergency. This is Daniel.
We need an ambulance. We're both hurt.
Every month, OnStar offers help in thousands of emergencies.
Okay, I have a contact emergency service at this time.
Dispatch.
Yes, this is Donald with OnStar. I have a vehicle crash with injuries. Can I get a conversation with the vehicle?
Hello, how are you injured? What happened?
I can't feel my leg. Oh, please help me.
We'll get police and paramedics on the way.
Emergency services have been contacted, and I will remain on the line until they arrive.
He pulled right in front of me.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
The emergency services are at the scene of the accident.
They're here. Okay, thank you.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. OnStar by GM. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com.
Can testing your DNA at home give you clues into what diseases you might get? The government doesn't think so.
A congressional investigation of 14 companies that sell do-it-yourself DNA kits concludes many give meaningless information, and some tried to sell consumers expensive customized supplements that essentially were grocery store vitamin pills. These kits usually have a customer take a swab from inside the cheek and send it to a lab for analysis. The Government Accountability Office probe found the tests were not clinically valid. The FDA is investigating.
Correspondent John Harchi, Cindy Sheehan and other anti-war protesters often found it difficult to get near the president's ranch to demonstrate. Now they're guaranteed a spot. She's taken the insurance money she received after her son was killed in Iraq and bought property in Crawford, Texas. It's about 7 miles from the Bush ranch. Sheehan said in an email that they'll use the space until Mr. Bush's resignation or impeachment. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
When other ways of getting to sleep don't work, there's something you should know. Tylenol PM relieves pain and sleeplessness. With the pure pain relief of Tylenol and a sleep aid that's safe and non-habit forming when used as directed. So it will help when other ways can't. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM.
CompUSA email bag.
Lisa emails, Dear CompUSA, I need a great camera, but I'm a student, so I also need a great deal. Okay, Lisa, how about $120 off a 5-megapixel Kodak EasyShare digital camera? That's right, $120 off. That puts it under $130 after savings and rebate. Our lowest price ever. That and hundreds more back-to-school deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. See store for details.
And we head into the third hour today of the Peter B. Collins Show. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Coming up in our next segment, we open up the phones to talk with you in the free speak zone. You know my policy. We talk about any subject from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Even if you've only caught this program once before, you're probably aware that I think that our political campaign finance system is a huge mess and amounts to a form of legalized bribery in far too many cases. And I want to see Californians embrace the clean money ballot measure, Proposition 89, which will be on the ballot this November. Eric Tang returns to our program. He's talked with us before about this effort as it worked its way through the legislature and on to the ballot. Eric, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Peter.
Nice to talk with you again. And we're joined today, too, by Carmen Balber, a consumer advocate at the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights. That was the organization started by Harvey Rosenfield, who helped us with insurance issues way back in the 1980s, and they have been working on behalf of consumers in California on many fronts. Carmen, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
And from your perspective, what is the fundamental reason that we need to get clean money in campaigns and reduce the influence of corporations and other rich interest groups in our political process?
I think you've stated it right there. Every Californian will agree that special interests, big money interests, whether it be Democratic or Republican, whether it be conservative or liberal, organizations with enough money by influence and access in Sacramento, and that's how policy is made. Money goes in, favors come out. And Proposition 89 on November's ballot will dramatically change that reality. It will take that special interest, fundraising interest, away from politicians and bring them back to serving the people that elected them. We'll have voter-owned elections rather than special interest-owned elections.
And the whole process continues to escalate. We thought we'd nip this problem in the bud when Gray Davis was recalled, because in the year before, he had spent all of his time raising money and leasing various parts of policy and apparatus of the California government to the interests that funded his campaign. He raised about $65 million to run for re-election. Enter Arnold Schwarzenegger, the self-made movie star millionaire, who told us on the Jay Leno show that he wouldn't need to be raising any money because he's just got so much of his own. And he's turned around and raised more money than Gray Davis from many of the same interest groups. Eric, is there any way we can stop this escalator?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Proposition 89, the Clean Money Initiative, is an essential part of that. And I think both the stories of Gray Davis and Arnold Schwarzenegger really come down to one thing, which is elections in our current system are no longer about ideas. They're not a contest of ideas and the strength of the candidates. They're solely about money, and they're about raising as much money as you possibly can. And Proposition 89, the Clean Money and Fair Elections Act, is about making elections a contest of ideas and not money.
Mm-hmm. And, Carmen, we recently saw the U.S. Supreme Court knock down Vermont's rather restrictive campaign finance law. How does Prop 89 differ from that, and will it pass muster before the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, there's really two sides to Proposition 89, all of which have to do with returning government to the people from special interest influence. One side is public financing of campaigns, and this would allow any candidate who chose to take public money rather than go dialing for dollars, raising private contributions. That aspect has been upheld by the courts any number of times because it's voluntary. Any candidate can choose not to participate in the system. The other side of Proposition 89 is limiting contributions from every interest. So Proposition 89 drastically cuts down on the amount of money any individual candidate can get from one company or one individual across the board, from a corporation, from a union, from an individual.
Now, in that respect, is it amending, was it Prop 34, the last campaign finance initiative?
Absolutely. And if your listeners have been paying any attention to political reform, they'll know that Proposition 34 was written by the politicians to overturn a much tougher ballot initiative that the voters had passed prior to that, Proposition 208. So Proposition 89 would return some of those strict limits and also get at some of the glaring loopholes that are in the current campaign finance system, where, for instance, candidates can open a ballot measure committee and raise unlimited amounts of money into those committees. That loophole would be cut off. And it would also curtail independent expenditures by limiting the amount of money that people can give to those campaigns to $1,000 apiece, whether they're a corporation, a union, or an individual. So it drastically pulls back the influence of every special interest that currently has a louder voice in Sacramento than the average Californian.
Eric Tang, can we ever eliminate soft money, unregulated, unlimited contributions?
Well, the idea behind clean money and the full public funding system is that it allows candidates to run for office without needing to go out there and raise money from a variety of sources. I mean, and the great thing about the clean money system is that it's not a pie-in-the-sky idea that we be, you know, trying out blind here. It's had several election cycles of success, amazing success in both Arizona and Maine, where it is voluntary there, but people, candidates, continue to use the system on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, and they're winning under this system. And I think that's a huge testament to the fact that this, you know, this reform is, unlike a lot of political reforms, really is shown and has teeth and has the ability to change the system. Now, in regards to getting the extra money out and stopping independent expenditures, the Supreme Court has said that we can't prevent people from making independent expenditures. But as Carmen alluded to, in Proposition 89, we have provided to clean money candidates can receive matching funds to counteract attack ads or independent expenditures that are made in favor of their opponents.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real, very, very strong disincentive for those outside groups to make these negative ads. Or at the very least, it makes them really think long and hard as to whether or not it's worth it to spend this money, knowing that they're essentially funding the person that they're trying to harm.
Right. And we saw Carmen Balber in the recent June primary here in California, an incredible avalanche of political mailers, most of which were negative and many of which were unsourced. You really couldn't tell where they came from and who was paying for this attack on a certain candidate. Can we do anything to force greater disclosure by these independent expenditure committees about exactly who they are and what mechanism they use to send us this hateful literature?
Well, that's yet another thing that Proposition 89 will do. Will require much faster and much broader disclosure from everyone who's putting money into the political system. And as Eric said, when those negative attack ads go out against a politician's opponent, those contributors are required to report within 24 hours that they've planned to spend this money, so the person who's running under public financing has the opportunity to respond immediately to those kinds of ads. So as Eric said, it will be a disincentive to some of that negative advertising and some of that extraordinary overspending by outside interests in campaigns, because they will be putting money in their opponent's coffers.
In my district, we have an open assembly seat, so it was a six-way race, and four of them ganged up on one of the persons who is presumed to be a front runner. And I didn't like that candidate, but I almost voted for her just because I was so offended by the way the other people attacked her and did it in a way that appeared to be organized and orchestrated.
Well, and I think it is true that we embrace free speech in America, and we're never going to be able to tell anyone you cannot negatively comment on your opponent. However, I think under this kind of system, where you've got limits on the amount of money that people are raising, limits on the amount of money they can spend, unless, of course, they are attacked, you're going to see candidates who are focusing more on the issues, particularly because they will no longer be beholden to the kind of big money donors that are currently driving a lot of their decisions.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Carmen Balber from Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights, and also Eric Tang from the California Clean Money Campaign. Visit the website caclean.org. It's just caclean.org. And there are some upcoming meetings, one in Rohnert Park tonight, San Diego on August 3rd, and in in the San Fernando Valley on August 5th. If you follow the website, there'll probably be more of those events coming up. And if you feel strongly about this, I hope that you'll volunteer to help spread the word and build a base of support for this on the November ballot. I want to thank you both for joining us today and for your work on this issue.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks so much, and I'd add that your readers or your listeners can also go to yeson89.org for more information about the initiative and volunteering.
Very good. Thank you, Carmen. Thank you, Eric. We'll talk again before November. Coming up next, we go to the phones in the Free Speech Zone. You want to talk about clean money campaigns? You want to talk about Ethiopia? That's quite a situation, and first I've learned about it. Also, we heard from Colonel Sam Gardner that Turkey may be giving the green light to invade northern Iraq and deal with some of its issues with the Kurds. Oh, boy. We also talked about immigration issues and the Middle East quite a bit. So anything's up for grabs. You're welcome to call the program. Lines are open for the remainder of this hour, and our new number is simple, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll go to the phones next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Good afternoon, I'm Larry Olson on KRXA 540. Getting reports of some heavy traffic on northbound Highway 1 as you leave Carmel and head into Monterey. So be aware it's going to take a little longer to get there. Northbound Highway 1 slows as you leave Carmel and into Monterey. Morgan Hill, Croy at Croy Bridge. His solo car hanging off the edge of the roadway there. CHP en route to figure out exactly what's going on. eastbound 152 at Dinosaur Point, left lane blocked with a four-car crash. That's eastbound 152 right after Dinosaur Point. And plenty of delays still through Santa Cruz, South 17. The off-ramp to Ocean Avenue has reopened following a major injury crash. However, South 17 backed up to Paso Tiempo. Northbound Highway 1 slows from Soquel. You can win a free Shell gas card with $25 or $50. Hurry so you can fill up those tanks for that song lover long summer road trip. Call 888-898-6402. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 or older to enter.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on as you're driving home this evening. I'm glad you're listening, and this is the Free Speech Zone, where we take your calls on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere you call in from. My toll-free line is available. I got three lines open right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's a new number. We just started using it this week, so I've been repeating it as often as I can, recognizing that it might be hard to catch it. But it's a catchy number, right? 888-5-PETER-B. So program that into your fancy cell phone or that incredibly powerful technology on your desk and give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind. There is so much to talk about in the news. And, of course, the Middle East and Iraq are dominating, but that's not all that's going on. Let me just offer you a couple of tidbits here. These are stories we might discuss or come back to in detail a little bit later in the hour. ConocoPhillips, the nation's third largest oil company, posted a 65% gain in second quarter profit yesterday. Can you feel it draining directly out of your wallet into the ConocoPhillips account? Washington State's Supreme Court upheld a state law banning same-sex marriages, but the nine justices issued six different opinions, and many of them, some even in the minority, let me get that right, some in the majority who upheld the current law banning gay marriage, emphasized that the legislature remains free to extend that right to marry to gay and lesbian couples. So I think that's an interesting development. It wasn't what the community was hoping for. But as one individual who was quoted in the New York Times said, the issue is in play. And that this is William B. Rubenstein, law professor at UCLA, author of the book Sexual Orientation and the Law. He said, you've gone in 32 years from something that was more or less a slam dunk to where the court is almost evenly and very bitterly divided. Well, that's an interesting development. The House has approved Bush's nuclear deal with India, essentially accepting that India will not sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and will continue to produce nuclear weapons, or nuclear, if you're the President of the United States. The Senate is ready to pass an energy bill that would open up portions of the Gulf of Mexico and the coast of Florida to oil drilling. And with Richard Pombo running the House Resources Committee, a guy from California, he is hell-bent on trying to turn the situation around and allow drilling off the coast of California. So there are many people, including Senator Barbara Boxer, who are very concerned about this, because you may take the position that you don't really care if they drill in the Gulf, but if they permit that, they may attempt to permit drilling under some circumstances off the coast of California. So those are a couple of news items. I've got others I'll include a little bit later in the hour, but I want to go to your calls, and Dave from Humboldt is on the line first. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Am I that Dave?
You are that Dave.
Okay. I didn't hear any sound of change that time.
Nah, that's because I plugged in before I started talking.
Oh, I see. I see.
By the way, I want to mention two things. One is that I was dismissed from jury duty today, and I have mixed feelings about that. And the other is that I'm running all the equipment here now, so when there are glitches, you can't blame anybody but me.
All right. Well, that'll make it a lot clearer for me. Anyway, I'd hoped to get in before your guests had left, because that's a wonderful thing that they're getting there. That they can get. Did I understand them that they got 89 on all the ballots in every county?
Oh, sure. It's a statewide initiative.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. Yep. And it would have effect in state elections. I haven't read the initiative, so I have to confess, Dave, I don't know how it would impact elections below the assembly level. I don't think it does cover county or municipal races, and Matt is telling me that that's correct.
Oh, I see.
So it will be at the state level, but it will regulate assembly, state senate, statewide constitutional offices, including the governor, and also future initiative campaigns.
Wow, well, that's a good start. I hope they can expand it to include all the elections, because we do have some of the finest politicians that money can buy.
Amen. But you should continue to work at the local level. You folks have done a great job in Humboldt County, and you shouldn't stop, Dave.
No, you mean Measure T. Well, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. And explain Measure T for our listeners in other parts of the state. This would prevent corporations from participating in recalls or initiative campaigns in Humboldt County. Is that right?
It, in effect, would block all big corporate money from out of county from being sent here to affect our local elections.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a great idea, and I know you're fully behind it. And with your support, I feel like it's probably going to pass, Dave.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you had Caitlin on the other day. I won't attempt to say it was supposedly Belknap, but when, didn't you?
Who was it?
Caitlin. She was the coordinator for Measure T.
I don't think she's been on recently.
Okay.
We did talk about it. The last time we had David Cobb on the show, we discussed it.
Yeah.
And I think I did discuss it with Caitlin once, but it was probably April.
Where did I hear? I was hearing her on the radio station just the other day, but anyway.
Well, Dave, based on the various talk shows that I've heard you call into, I know that you listen to a lot of different radio stations, and I won't fault you for not being able to keep it all straight.
Well, you know, we wondered, what can we possibly do that might help save the country? And writing letters to the editor, I just read one in today, and calling radio shows, those are the things we can do, help, you know, make America aware of how bad it is.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Peter.
More of your calls coming up next here in our next segment. 888-5-PETER-B. Grab a line, and I'd love to talk with you this afternoon. Also, I want to mention that there's still time for you to get in on our first anniversary giveaway, a case of Central Coast wine. No boxes of, it'll be one box with a bunch of bottles, 12 usually, but none of those box wines that Stephanie Miller talks about. It includes wines from Monterey County and from the Santa Cruz Mountains, and it's donated by our friends at Monterey Bay Wine Company. If you want to enter, send me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. Give me your age, your name, address, daytime, phone number, and tell me your most memorable moment of the Peter B. Show over the past year. One entry per person, please. And you can also snail mail it to me, Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows. Sponsored by the Monterey County Vintners and Growers Association's 14th Annual Winemaker Celebration on August 12th from noon until 4 p.m. For more information, go to the web at montereywines.org.
Hello, this is Al Moore with Moore Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
From colic to tantrums to transitions, our children often express their discomfort by crying. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and my guest Tanya Crowder, author of the book When Your Baby Won't Stop Crying, to discuss the underlying causes of our children's tears. Call in Sunday with your questions.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Peter B. Collins Show continues rocking your free world. Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Read a powerful review of a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young concert in the Bay Area over the weekend. They may be aging, but they're still rocking. My lines are open to talk with you. 888-5-PETER-B is my new toll-free number. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Hope you got that new number. Got a question for you, and it's simple. This thing in the Middle East between Israel and Hezbollah, who started it? It's a simple question, and I would like to hear you answer it. And tell me from your perspective, who was the party who initiated military action? Was it Israel or was it Hezbollah? I'd like to know what you think. Give me a call. There's a line open for you, 888-5-PETER-B. Lisa in Eureka, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed.
About?
When you're on hold, you can't hear your news down there. Sitting up here in Eureka, we get our local news, which is fine, but I can't hear your news. I don't get your traffic reports, your weather reports. And how, when you were on hold on the old line, you got to listen to your news.
Well, actually, when you're on hold up until last week, you had to listen to a bunch of commercials.
you got the weather. No, you got the traffic report.
That's true. But the way things are wired now, we go directly from my studio to the satellite uplink in Denver. We used to route through the radio station in Monterey, KRXA, and that's why you would hear those things when you're on hold.
Well, and now you just listen to music and turn on your local radio station.
Yeah, whatever helps. It's fine with me.
And it was kind of a takeoff of what we were talking about yesterday with the $1 million bribe to vote.
Right.
You know, I've talked to a lot of people about that, and conservative and liberal alike, we all pretty much feel the same way as far as, you know, go out and vote, be informed of the whole nine yards. A million-dollar bribe is just that. It's a bribe.
Well,
Proposition 89 is a good start to campaign reform, but it, I don't think it goes far enough. I think a lot of the problem is you've got radio, TV, newspapers, all these people that are regulated by all these different agencies that are government agencies who could give 30 seconds to each candidate.
Well, a couple of things there. First of all, newspapers are not regulated. Secondly, radio and television are barely regulated anymore. And I agree with your central point. It's not something that is addressable by a state-level ballot initiative. But when Congress gave away so much to broadcasters in the 1996 Telecommunications Act, they permitted Clear Channel to buy as many radio stations almost as they want. And in fact, the FCC is now entertaining proposals to further relax those regulations so that a company could own more than eight stations in San Francisco. I'm deeply opposed to that. However, at the time that they made that big giveaway to radio in the form of relaxing the ownership rules, and they gave a big gift to the television broadcasters in permitting them to move to the digital spectrum without buying that spectrum. They basically said, you know, you're doing such a fine job bringing us Oprah and Montel and all this trash that we're going to let you migrate to this other part of the spectrum for free. And at that point, I think the trade-off should have been access for political candidates in the period before the campaign.
Equal access to all viable candidates. If you've got the what with and the signatures and the whatever it takes to get your name on the ballot or to get your initiative on the ballot, it should be equal across the board.
I agree with you on an ideal level. We run into this problem, and it's called Buckley versus Valeo. And that is the 1966 Supreme Court decision that essentially says that money is speech and that you cannot restrict the free speech of, in this case, wealthy individuals. You can,
of the corporation of America. It's sad. It's just really sad. And I hope 89 passes. I hope T passes up here. I mean, I really hope for all that. I just don't know if it's going to be the answer.
All right. It's a start, though. Thank you, Lisa.
Uh-huh, bye.
All right. Now to, let's see, we got John in Carmel Valley next. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. You asked the question about how all the trouble started.
Yeah, who started it?
Well, I'm sure Israel would like part of my response. It initially started, as I recall, when one soldier in Gaza was taken hostage, and that's when Israel started a massive retaliation, because it has the policy of replying, especially to something like this, where one of its military men would be taken hostage.
Now, wait, John. Let's not use that word hostage, okay? They're in a wartime setting, and when they put a soldier out there in battle, and a soldier is captured, he is a captured soldier. He is not a hostage. He has not been kidnapped. And this is an important point, because Israel acts as if, you know, a large number of civilians were kidnapped and held hostage, when in fact they put their soldiers at risk and the enemy took them captive.
Well, I couldn't agree more in that interpretation. It's just that that's not how Israel sees it at all. And part of the problem is there was a strategy, as far as I understand, a clear strategy that was enunciated by Hamas or whoever was directing it in the Gaza, because there, that probably was more Hamas, since it tends to run things or try to run things in Gaza. And then the whole scene shifted to southern Lebanon, where I think 3 to 4 more Israeli soldiers were taken hostage.
Drop that word hostage. Where were they captured?
Well, Israel claims that that Hezbollah came across the border and captured them there.
But there are two contemporaneous reports from the Associated Press and the Agence, the French French press agency, and the French Yahoo News Service that all say that Israel invaded Lebanon. The two Israeli soldiers crossed into southern Lebanon near Aita al-Shab, where the soldiers were captured by Hezbollah.
Well, that could, I wouldn't be surprised if that were true, given what we know now, just in what happened to those four UN observers that were killed a couple of days ago. Kofi Annan is vacillating still, I think, between charging Israel outright with intentional killing of them and saying, well, it still may be up in the air. I wish he would stand. It would almost be better if he went back to just not taking any stand than vacillating. But I understand his predicament, because when the United States so buddies up completely with Israel, and you've got John Bolton almost certainly going to be fully appointed, not provisionally appointed, to be ambassador, and since, like it or not, we're still the chief power, well, we are, not just as a power broker, not only as it relates to the UN, but as it relates to the whole world, Kofi Annan cannot, without taking unthinkable amounts of heat, take a position drastically different from the United States, at least not a public one. But I have a question for you, because we could go round and round.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, John.
Why are so many Democrats, including Howard Dean, which I heard today on Ed Schultz's program, I think it was on something he was doing and not on one of the CBS hourly news reports, but Dean was making a huge pitch about the need to support Israel, especially as it related to this Iraqi prime minister giving his speech,
mm-hmm.
which he's already given.
Well, let me.
Why
let me,
are so many doing this?
John, I don't know exactly. I think that they're trying very hard to avoid any kind of daylight between the Democratic and Republican parties in terms of support for Israel, because the polling shows that most Americans do support Israel. And in the next segment, I'll give you a snapshot of a poll that was just published today. So I think that they are pandering to the polls. I think they are trying to avoid creating any targets that they think Republicans could take advantage of. And I think that they are seriously mistaken in staking out this position that they have, driven by Chuck Schumer, the senator from New York, who, you know, along with Durbin, and I really like Jan Schakowsky, but she was out there saying that she didn't want Maliki to come and speak before the joint session. And I really think that this is off base. I don't think that because we toppled Saddam and installed Nouri al-Maliki as the prime minister of Iraq, that he owes us, you know, talking points, that he has to read from our script and denounce Hezbollah, which doesn't come from his heart, clearly, and doesn't reflect, in most instances, the position of others in the Iraqi government and presumably the Iraqi people. And so I give him free speech rights. He can say what he wants to say. And you can agree or disagree with him, but to declare, as Howard Dean has, that Maliki is anti-Semitic because he has refused to denounce Hezbollah, man, that's just wrong. And it's a shrill remark that I think is not going to play well long term. But it probably serves the short-term interests of the Democratic Party based on polling that they've seen.
I don't even think it serves short-term interests, because every time, and I can't think of an exception, that the Democrats have tried to outshine the Republicans in anything, and this is so much a part of Kerry's strategy, it fails.
Yeah, it's all the Me Too game. Me Too, yep, Me
and
Too, only I can do it better.
Well, the first thing I'd ask Bill Clinton, if I had a chance to talk to him, was, what did you ever get for the tons and tons of hunks of meat you threw to Republicans to try to get them to say one good word about you? I can't ever remember seeing anything that I could detect for all of that. Plus, the other hazard, the other immediate hazard, is people like me. I have been toying for some time of dropping out, and I mean dropping out of the Democratic Party. I'm so disgusted with so many other stances taken. I think I'm going to act on it. I'm not yet sure because I have to find out what I'm going to drop into. But at the same time, I just, what if enough people dropped out on the more liberal wing of the party, and whatever they might gain, and I'm not sure there is any gain to be had on the other side of the equation, but what if enough people like me dropped out so that it more than made the Democratic Party vulnerable?
All right, John, I got it. I got to go to a break, and I want to just put it out there. If there are any other listeners who are in your shoes, ready to drop out of the Democratic Party, I want to hear from you right now at 1-888-5-PETER-B. 1-888-5-PETER-B. Thanks for your call, John.
Okay.
We'll take a quick break and return. Who started this? And are you ready to dump the Democratic Party? I'd like to know your thoughts. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
The Monterey County Democrats invite all KRXA listeners to join them this Saturday from noon to 3 at the Democratic Reunion and Voter Registration Drive Kickoff Picnic. The drive and picnic will take place at Natividad Creek Park, 1395 Nogal Drive in Salinas. This is a unique opportunity to meet with your elected leaders, candidates, and special guests in a casual setting while enjoying free food and fun. RSVP to 1-866-679-3367 or browse to www.democrats.org.
I'm tired of all these old TVs and computers trashing our garage. Can't we get rid of them once and for all?
I'd love to, honey, but it costs so much to get rid of them.
This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you can dispose of your electronic waste, TVs, monitors, old computers, and more, and it won't cost you a dime. Bring them to the Monterey Fairgrounds, and the garage will be yours again. The Electronic Waste Disposal event is happening this Friday through Sunday, July 28th, 29th, and 30th at the Monterey Fairgrounds in Monterey. Go to noewaste.com for more information. That's noewaste.com.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG. For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with KRXA 540 traffic, northbound Highway 1. Very heavy coming out of Carmel as you make your way into Monterey. Got a couple of cell calls on that. That's northbound Highway 1. Very heavy once again coming out of Carmel as you make your way into Monterey. Pacheco Pass. East 152 after Dinosaur Point. Four-car crash. It's all been moved over now towards the right shoulder. 152 at the 156. It's a cattle feeder in lanes. Drive with some caution there. 17 has improved greatly as you make your way from the 85 into the Santa Cruz Mountains. You could win a free Shell gas card worth up to $25 or $50. So hurry. Fill up those tanks for that long summer road trip. Call 888-898-6402. No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older to enter. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
We'll be right back.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Sorry, I was asleep at the switch there, reading some emails and lost track of the time. We're in the free speech zone, and your calls are welcome here at 888-5-PETER-B. Two items I just wanted to pass along before we go back to your calls, and I do appreciate the people who hold on. I want to direct you to the Chronicle's website, San Francisco Chronicle, sfgate.com. There's an op-ed article today written by Edmund Burke III, who is a professor of Middle East history at UC Santa Cruz. And he's the one who posed this question that I have passed along about who started this. And he asked, did Hezbollah invade Israeli territory and capture two Israelis on July 12th? This apparent fact has been called into question. These reports suggest the opposite occurred. That is to say, Israel invaded Lebanon. The two Israeli soldiers crossed into southern Lebanon near Aita al-Sha'ab, where the soldiers were captured by Hezbollah. Spun again? The incident remains murky, but given the stakes, the question needs to be raised. And many Americans don't think critically about this and just say, oh, Israel was attacked. And I wasn't there. I don't know specifically, but I am skeptical that Hezbollah crossed the border into Israel to conduct that operation that is seen as the point of provocation here. I'll tell you about the polls in a minute, but Tom and Carmel has been holding, and I feel your pain, Tom. Thanks for joining me on the show this afternoon.
Thanks, Peter, and I won't try to answer that Israeli Hezbollah question because I don't think any of us can really answer that. But the thing that I wanted to mention was what I perceived or have perceived as a kind of amateur student of military history and strategy, that there's a bigger strategy that Bush has been, and not really Bush, but the military people and the administration have been working through, and it's now, possibly paying off, and that is by taking out Afghanistan and by taking out Iraq, they have isolated, if you look on the map, they have isolated Iraq and Syria from each other, and Syria being a paper tiger which couldn't confront either Israel or the United States at for 15 minutes probably, has now been cut off from any possible support through Iraq and Iran, and is very weakened and in this position noticeably is not saying anything and is completely out of sight, not making any overt statements and really being quiet. And even Iran is really not been nearly as hostile as you might have expected them to be, because again they are very isolated, and anybody that thinks that we couldn't easily defeat Iran, just think back when the Iranians and the Iraqis fought each other to a dead draw for after 5 years. The only reason the Iranians were able to stop the Iraqis is that they just literally threw human waves of people at them. And millions were killed, nearly a million people were killed in that war.
Well, I agree with that, Tom, but I don't agree with your assessment that Iran would not be tough. The topography of Iran is very, very difficult. Just ask Jimmy Carter about the effort to rescue the hostages back in the 1970s. And Iran is not nearly as weakened as Iraq was when the U.S. went in there in 2003. So I think it would be a serious mistake, to borrowing a mangled term from George W. Bush, to misunderestimate the impact that Iran could have on us. Not all direct militarily either. They can mess with us in Iraq. They can mess with us, as we've seen with Hezbollah in Lebanon and in other parts of the Middle East, and they can mess with us with the oil supply. And I think it's a serious mistake to expect that it would be a cakewalk into Iran. But I thank you for your call, Tom. Nice to talk to you. Jody in Humboldt, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead.
Hi, Peter. You asked before the break whether or not anyone was thinking about leaving the Democratic Party.
Right,
so
like
I
John.
Decided to call up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I did pick up my change of registration form a few days ago and haven't filled it out yet, but I'm seriously considering leaving the party.
And where would you go? I can understand people's disaffection with the Democratic Party. Would you go green or would you form your own party?
Well, no, there's a block on the form that you can check that's just declined a state.
Right.
And that works for me right now. I simply...
I have been a declined estate voter in California for over 8 years now, and I prefer that. It allows me to drop into either primary if I want to, and it reduces the amount of political junk mail I get.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they're always asking. I'm on these email lists, and they're always asking for money. But I have a hard time wanting to support or give money to a party who's less and less speaking to my issues.
Well, and you know, you have a couple of choices, and I certainly would not presume to tell you what to do. But I think people who send a message to Howard Dean and say, based on your comments, I will not be sending any checks to the Democratic National Committee this year. That sends a message that they really hear. The fact that you have dropped out and re-register as declined estate, they will eventually figure out, and they do see that trend with more and more people deserting the two major parties and declaring their independence. But you can also pressure them by refusing to send them money and letting them know by returning those prepaid envelopes with nothing in them.
That's a great idea.
All right, I got to run here, Jody. Thanks a lot for your call.
Bye-bye.
And I wanted to mention just two things from this poll published in the New York Times today. It's the CBS New York Times poll. What is your overall opinion of Israel? 61% responded favorable or very favorable. Should the U.S. government publicly support Israel? 39% say yes. 40% say do nothing, but only 7% say that Israel should be criticized. So that, I think, is the polling that Democrats are responding to. We go to Somerville, South Carolina, where Trudy's on the line. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, Trudy.
Well, thank you. Unfortunately, Howard Dean seems to be the least offensive of all the Democrats. I think that when he suggested that the new premier or prime minister or president...
Maliki?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was anti-Semitic, it's just because he was so clear in his opinions. To begin with, I want to say that I think that Israel has a right to exist.
Mm-hmm. And Trudy, you have a right to talk, but you only have 20 seconds, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, oh, man.
You want to call me back tomorrow?
I do believe that Hezbollah is being persecuted. There was a wonderful senator from Washington State on C-SPAN this morning. He said he was originally a child psychologist, and that if you talk to the wife, the husband is evil. If you talk to the husband, the wife is evil.
That's Jim McDermott. Jim McDermott, the psychologist. Thanks, Trudy. I got to run.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. He denies cheating to win the Tour de France.
All I'm asking for, from me, is that I'd be given a chance to prove that I'm innocent.
Floyd Landis tested positive for high levels of testosterone, and now another set of tests will be analyzed. He's been suspended for now, and the sport is once again under scrutiny. Here's CBS News correspondent Armin Katayan.
But professional cycling, you know, there was a line that has been used before, but it was considered to be a rolling pharmacy on wheels for the longest time. There was a huge drug scandal in 1998, the so-called Festina drug scandal. The sport stayed relatively clean despite all the allegations surrounding Lance Armstrong.
Landis says even if he's cleared like Armstrong, the disgrace will probably follow him forever. Israeli tanks were on the move today in Gaza and Lebanon as the Israeli war cabinet met to discuss what progress they've made. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has their assessment.
The military chief of staff, Dan Chalutz, claimed Hezbollah has suffered hundreds of casualties, including some of the group's leaders. And he said the Air Force has caused serious damage to Hezbollah's ability to launch missiles. Still, over 100 rockets a day have been hitting northern Israel.
Israel.
Al-Qaeda's number two man, Ayman al-Zawahiri, appeared in a videotape message today urging Muslims worldwide to unite in a holy war.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The administration views the latest terrorist call to arms as a weakened Al-Qaeda's attempt to stay in the game. President Bush dismissed the message.
Zawahiri's attitude about life is that there shouldn't be free societies. And he believes that people ought to use terrorist tactics, the killing of innocent people, to achieve his objective.
The president's spokesman took it a step further, calling al-Zawahiri a hypocrite for claiming to be a defender of Islam. But tough talk aside, the administration says it still takes every threat seriously.
In Baghdad, insurgents used mortars and rockets today to kill at least 31 people as the Pentagon agreed to extend some deployments. CBS News correspondent David Martin is at the Pentagon.
Defense Secretary Rumsfeld has made the decision to extend a brigade of about 3,700 troops currently in Iraq past their one-year tour of duty in order